Hey, Project Big Screen listeners, you can find us every Monday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
Feeling lucky? You should be. Meet the new Lucky One Sweet Tea from Miss Peaches, the vodka drink that's positively doing good. Made with real tea and real vodka, non-carbonated, 100 calories. And here's the scoop. Their new sweet tea is the only vodka-based sweet tea on the market. Simple ingredients in a smooth, full flavor that makes it taste just like the real sweet tea. Best part? Every can helps rescue dogs find their forever homes as they work to a goal of donating $1 million to dog rescues in 2026. So if you love true sweet tea, this one's a no-brainer. Pick up a Lucky One sweet tea today and give back one can at a time.
To infinity and beyond!
The Lord tells me he can get me out of this mess, but he's pretty sure you're fucked.
That is why you fail.
You can't handle the truth!
Maybe. Maybe not. Maybe fuck yourself.
Say hello to my new friend!
You'll shoot your eye out, kid.
Say what again? Say what again? I dare you. I double dare you, motherfucker. Say what one more goddamn time.
What we've got here is failure to communicate.
Roads? Where we're going, we don't need roads.
Are you not entertained? Are you not entertained?
You get our son.
Happy birthday, Molly.
Welcome to Lights, Camera, Barstool, episode 104. Jeff Lowe, Ken Jack, Tro Ballins, and back for the second time in like 3 weeks, Coley.
Mm-hmm.
Coley Mick,
mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Champion Coley
Hall
Mick.
Of Famer.
Hall of Famer.
Yes. Hall of Famer.
Come on, Jeff.
What's going on other than that?
If you've been following me over the last 3 years, you've seen my gradual acceptance going from a size medium to a size large.
Hmm.
This is the first large Patagonia item I've purchased. I'm a big boy now.
Damn.
I'm a big boy.
You look fluffy.
I feel fluffy, dude. What's going on with you guys? I'm in a good mood today.
Is that Sherpa? Sherpa material?
Yeah. Ooh. It's probably like they do that thing where they make clothes out of plastic bottles now. It's mm-hmm. probably that.
Probably.
No big deal. Probably big plastic bottle Sherpa fleece.
Or it's just an alpaca's then, fleece that was like we short from its living body.
I bought a cowboy. Like a rancher, like
Ooh.
Plaid jacket. Yeah.
Oh, yes. It has four pockets, right?
Yeah, it has a bunch of pockets. I was playing Red Dead Redemption 2, and I was like, damn, like I need, in case I ever get on a horse and ride, I need a horse riding jacket.
Arthur, I understand that you don't get four pockets. You have to have faith, Arthur Morgan.
Arthur, it is No Nut November in this camp.
You have to monitor everyone, Arthur. Especially Micah.
Any nuts that are being busted in this camp are going to alert the damn Pinkertons.
All right, so before we get into news, we do have an ad read.
Shit, we're doing that now, yes.
Yeah, well, we'll read for... so actually, Coley, we actually are sponsored by a wallet. We're sponsored by a wallet this weekend, Jack,
yes,
right?
Yes, it's a wallet company. Okay. We had our good friends over at a very familiar ad company. They sent me over some copy, and they just gave it over to Coley so he can do our ad read. So hit it.
Folks, are you tired of carrying around a clunky front pocket wallet? Is it messing up your posture and the way you interact with your wife and the judge at a family court? Well, boy, do I have the solution for you. From industry pioneers Glorp Glorp Incorporated comes the revolutionary new way to hold your valuables, the Rim Wallet.
Ooh.
Who dictated that valuables had to be held outside the body? Using the Rim Wallet, you can store your cash, credit cards, pictures, and more in nature's pocket, the anus. The first step is putting all your valuables in the 2-inch thick woolet. That's right, a wallet made of wool. Then you give the woolet a generous coating of the painted Glorp Glorp jelly, which you must keep stored at 35 degrees maximum because it will expire. The only step left is to feel the icy cool glide of the wallet sliding inside you where it will, that's a word, I just
gestate
until, all right, Ken Jack, college boy, until removed for a purchase or to pass a bowel movement. Need to get your wallet out in a flash? Use the patented,
hyoretic.
Like diuretic, I get it now. Use the patented hyoretic, it's a diuretic laced with bath salts to ease the passing of your belongings. For only 4 monthly payments of $15.99, the Rim Wallet can be yours. We even donate 75% of all profits to the Sinbad Memorial / Ukrainian National Defense League for...
All right. Got to stop there. We have a better wallet for you. Actually, you have one in your hand right now.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, actually, you've already converted all of your cards and put them into this.
Mm-hmm.
So why use the Rim Wallet when you can use the Ridge Wallet?
Mm. Does this go in my anus?
No, it does not.
It
I would.
It can if you want.
It can. It is a possibility. I wouldn't suggest it.
Whoa, is that what the Rim Wallet did?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I didn't pick up on that.
Okay. The RFID blocking wallet is made by two metal plates, either titanium, carbon fiber, or aluminum, bound together by a durable elastic band. The Ridge now resides in the pockets of over 250,000 men and women.
Carbon fiber adds 2 horsepower to whatever vehicle you're riding in.
I use a Ridge wallet. Kenjek uses a Ridge wallet.
Sure do.
Trill uses a Ridge wallet. He's got 2 right now, actually. And Coley now uses a Ridge wallet.
I'll never go back to one of those clunky front pocket wallets like a buffoon.
Yep. Get 10% off today.
Urethra wallet.
Free worldwide shipping, 10% off by going to ridgewallet.com/LCB. That's ridgewallet.com/LCB and use the code LCB. The link is also in the description of this podcast until they pull their ad. So we we have them for now. All right. Well, I guess we should talk about movies. First up, Artemis Fowl, as teased earlier. So not good news, just news.
It is news.
This movie, this trailer, this did nothing for me. This
Hell.
Did nothing for me.
How I was so excited for this trailer because I go in, I click the link, 100%. This is a movie where the protagonist is a duck. 100%. The name's Artemis Fowl. And I watched the entire trailer waiting for somebody to turn into a damn duck, and nobody turns into a duck.
That sounds like it'd be a menu item at Outback Steakhouse. The Artemis Fowl.
Okay, Jay.
It does.
Would you like Artemis Fowl?
That's not even close to Australian, but
what kind of accent is that? This trailer looked like more. I'm burying the lead. Who's involved in this one?
Disney.
Yeah, but who's like directing it? Wait, Kenneth Branagh is not involved in this one.
It's Kenneth Branagh. Yeah, Kenneth Branagh. Sorry, you're right.
Yeah. Oh yeah. So. This is totally right up his wheelhouse. This is going to be a, would you say like Shakespearean type young adult movie of sorts?
It looks more like Percy Jackson and whatever.
It's a straight on YA novel movie. This was made the books were made in 2001.
Where's our Boxcar Kids movie?
They're not old. Yeah.
That's what we really need.
Do you know who's in this movie?
I don't know who.
Josh Gad.
Of course. The young adult novel needs to have Josh Gad. Like Artemis Fowl. This is a good spelling pun for this.
I mean, I don't know anything about the story, but let me try to guess, okay? Like, the world is in this dystopian-type disarray.
Wrong.
And there are some adults, and the adults, like, don't properly manage the world. But then there's this young kid who, like, is an individual and has special abilities, and he comes and saves everybody.
No, so the way it really works is Artemis Fowl is like kind of like an inventor of sorts, and every adult is really dumb, and they use front pocket wallets. And so Artemis Fowl invents this new way with carbon fiber wallets to re-innovate the industry.
It says, in order to rescue his criminal father and restore the family fortune, Artemis Fowl II and his trusted servant and bodyguard, Domovi Butler, seek the existence of fairies, believing that it makes a connection to his father in hopes of robbing them.
Mm.
What?
They want to rob fairies?
They want to rob fairies. I'm not into this. I didn't like the trailer. It was confusing. It was weird. And young adult movies, I'm just out on them. I liked the Hunger Games series until the last two. And then the Divergent series were an epic proportion of disaster.
So half of the Hunger Games?
Yeah, I guess. Well, I guess 2/3 of the books. Because I guess the last two were one book, but yeah.
Look, you can take this over to Lights, Camera, Book podcast that we have.
Hell yeah. Pal. Somebody made that joke recently. This is not Lights, Camera,
me
Reading.
Just now.
Oh, yeah. Well,
very recently.
You might have a burner on our Reddit now that I... interesting.
I might.
So I'm way up on the plot, but my point that you can't have a movie called Artemis Fowl and not expect it to be a spiritual successor to Howard the Duck.
I mean, I'm all in. I didn't think that's where you're going to be going with this, but I like now the fact that you watch us thinking there'd be some sort of strange duck. It's just a fucking
absolutely,
kid.
That absolutely sounds like the name of a detective duck, does it not?
Yeah, 100%.
With Kenneth Branagh directing it, yeah. I knew the name of the movie was Artemis Fowl, and Kenneth Branagh was involved, and my head was like, oh, dude, this is a detective duck, 100%.
Yeah, well, it's not. It's a fucking kid, and he's got a suit on in the poster, and he's got, like, the Matrix going on in his glasses.
Yeah. So this looks like an incel.
This is a...
Better Artemis. The Wild Wild West Artemis or Artemis Fowl?
Ooh.
Have you seen the book, by the way? The book, God. This is bad radio, Troy. You'd probably have to look it up. But Artemis Fowl, the book looks like a complete ripoff of Harry Potter.
Yeah, sure does. Same font and everything.
The kid just looks like a more hip Harry Potter.
What's the author's name?
It looks like if the page master was just much richer and grew up to like enslave
he looks like
a race
he looks
of people.
Like, the YouTube like guy report of the week. That's what he looks like.
It's like Harry Potter if Harry Potter found a brand of shirts that were meant to be worn untucked.
Ooh, yeah. Good point.
What about that? It's like Eon Colfer, E-O-I-N, and then Colfer.
That sounds like a Harry Potter name.
Those aren't names.
Yeah. This is probably just J.K. Rowling under an anonymous name again.
God damn it.
Which she did. What did she write before doing that?
Is her pen name. I didn't think she did like a major series before Potter.
Fake J.K. Rowling name book. That's going to pull something up.
She wrote a John Grisham story.
She wrote a fake crime novel using the pseudonym Robert Galbraith.
One of the better parts of Can You Ever Forgive Me is how the character Lee Ezrael hates Tom Clancy. That's one of my favorite parts of that movie.
I love that fucking movie. I really want us to review it on here, but it's now in one less theater than last week. It's now in one theater in New York.
Clancy's dead, right? Rest in peace.
Yes. I met Richard E. Grant yesterday. Charlie, you see that?
Yeah, that was pretty cool. How'd you guys do that?
He confirmed to me that he plays Thrawn in Star Wars. Don't agree. Don't publish this, though.
Nobody tweet this.
We're going to cut this. It was very serious. Like, okay, actually, we should probably clarify. That's not a lie. Please do not sue us.
Yes. He definitely is not. He definitely is not playing Thrawn, at least as far as we know Thrawn. Yeah,
he did tell me some interesting information, though, which I will tell you guys off air.
Oh, I like that. Yeah, we were at the Fox Searchlight Christmas party.
Fun time.
Ooh.
Good food.
Yeah, good food.
They were serving a lot of oysters. I don't know if they're expecting people to fuck in this joint, but like there was a lot of oysters going around.
There was also some sort of like bread that they cut a small slit out on top and slid a hot dog in. You see that?
That
one?
Was wild.
That was
weird. Like a Vienna sausage in it with like just a 5-inch quite chunk of bread. Like, no, I'll pass on that.
Yeah, pretty good.
No, but it wasn't like the accessibility of a pig in a blanket type of hot dog.
Right.
It wasn't like that, like one or two bite type thing. This is like a 5-bite deal.
Yeah.
Which is annoying. Like, just get a full hot dog at that point.
Much like Trill, I thought this movie was about owls.
Ooh. Huh. Yeah.
Fowls.
Like Guardians of Gahool. Mm-hmm. Great movie. Mm-hmm. Not really.
Guardians of Gahool?
Yeah. I was like, they kind of messed up their chance at an owl movie. You don't remember the owl movie?
Yeah, Guardians of Gahool.
Weren't there multiple owl movies?
There was like two that came out like almost back to back, I think.
I thought it was just called The Guardians.
That was a different movie.
Guardians of Gahool, baby.
Yeah, no, I recall.
The fucking owls.
Oh, yeah, they called it Legends of the Guardians.
Yeah.
Yeah. This was a heat check movie. This is one of those movies that you feel like they're going to do a series, and they just want to get it out to see how interested people are, and it makes $43. enough to put in your front-facing wallet.
Yeah.
I actually recognize. I didn't know that was the name of the book. I recognize the book cover. I didn't know it was called Guardians of Gahool.
Guardians of Gahool. That should be my new expert trivia on Big If True. It's Guardians of Gahool.
You just get, we just get like 60-year-old, 70-year-old teachers calling in.
Love these freaking owls, baby.
Somebody gave us this baby product called the Owlet, which is a sock that you put on a baby and it monitors their heart rate and everything.
What the?
And we probably used it the first two nights just to make sure the baby wasn't alive. And then we're like, we're not putting on this damn
Bluetooth
sock.
To make sure it wasn't alive?
Make sure it was alive.
Oh, okay. As that Midwest accent kicking in again.
Yeah.
Wasn't.
Well, the baby was wearing it in a restaurant.
In a restaurant whilst watching X-Men.
What's the next piece of news?
SpongeBob. It's a little downward.
Speaking.
Just have to touch the fact that the SpongeBob creator passed away.
Huge RIP.
Steven Hillenburg, is how you say his name?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a bummer.
Someone said he did Rocko, too.
Possible. That's like the same time period when they aired.
If that's Rock true, that's crazy earlier. Because nobody is really talking about that if that's the case.
Well, SpongeBob's obviously the huge one. Rocko, I think, for people sure. around our age, is something where we just immediately identified as a great show.
Also, Rocko's Modern Life?
As a director on Rocko's Modern Life, yeah.
Pretty good.
Interesting. Huge RIP. First three seasons of SpongeBob are like very rewatchable television, and then they kind of PC'd it. That sounds really stupid, but in retrospect, but it is kind of what they did. They made it less for adults, like parents watching the show, and then it kind of got like I was like I wasn't as interested. First three seasons, infinitely great television though.
Yeah, he a pretty lasting legacy on pop culture.
Oh yeah,
it's crazy. I mean, think about just memes. Mm. Everything's a SpongeBob meme. Like everything ties back to it. Like it's pretty insane. And the movies, I didn't love the first movie. The most recent one I actually didn't dislike all that much. I thought it was pretty funny, entertaining. But beyond that, guy just made some great shit.
I've said it before. Go ahead, Trill.
So he passed away of ALS, right?
Yes. I think someone told me that. Man, I had no clue.
I've been learning more about that. I mean, mostly through just watching Steve Gleason like clips and stuff. And those always make me cry. And like I'm being serious, but that is so fucking unfair. That's such an unfair condition.
Yeah, that sucks.
Oh man, I'm sorry. I mean, it's like we said before. I know SpongeBob, but like its cultural relevance on folks who are Ken Jack's age is ridiculous.
It's very bad. I think maybe I'll make that my expert category: first three seasons of SpongeBob, because I could nail anything from that.
I've said it before. I think SpongeBob is just top five cartoon. Television cartoon for any, like, Simpsons, all of it. Like, it's in that top five. Looney Tunes, SpongeBob, Simpsons.
I'd agree with that.
Didn't he come back to SpongeBob after a while and the show got better again?
Like three or four years ago, yeah.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, he was gone for a while, yeah.
I haven't watched any of the recent stuff, but...
I think he also wanted to end the show at one point, too. Ooh. But I think it was far too...
Too much of a money
too much
maker.
Money.
Like, I think Jerry Seinfeld's the only human being he's ever been able to end a show before.
Dave Chappelle.
Yeah, Chappelle.
That's true. That's true.
Scrubs, I think, hit that mark pretty well, too.
But, like, I think SpongeBob was, may not be up on, like, Seinfeld, but SpongeBob was, when he wanted to cancel, was massive. Massive, for massive, sure. massive. Yeah.
I think How I Met Your Mother also, they ended before they lost any cast members, which is pretty impressive. I expected there to at least one person to quit and try doing something else.
Squidward.
And SpongeBob?
Squidward goes rogue.
So they don't make, they aren't making new SpongeBob episodes, or they haven't been for a bit?
I'm not sure, to be honest. I haven't paid attention to much of it. But they had a lot of good guest stars, I think, that people forget. Like, Clancy Brown played Mr. Krabs. And Clancy Brown, you might remember, Trill, you've watched Starship Troopers, right?
Yeah.
You know, like, the sergeant in Starship Troopers? The one that throws the knife at the guy's hand? That's Clancy Brown. He voiced Mr. Krabs. There's a lot of good guest stars. Like, Biff, I think, played three different bullies in that show.
Hmm.
And they did a lot of voice work.
The SpongeBob movies, though, you've seen them all, right, Ken Jack? Jeff?
Only the first one. That's the second one.
How would you rank the SpongeBob movie?
I forget where I have them. I have them
first
both
one's
rated.
Definitely better.
I actually like the second one more.
I love the Hasselhoff bit and
Goofy
Goober
funny.
Stuff. It got to me. Got me.
It is. I mean, then they were okay for what they were. But, I mean, that show lives best on how it was originally made.
Yeah, agreed.
By the way, sounds like the Murphy Brown reboot's going to just come to an end.
That was fast.
Yeah.
What did Murphy Brown say?
I don't know, but I saw that come across. I was picking out stories for us today, and I saw Murphy Brown, and I thought of Trill immediately. I'm sorry if that's like offensive, but I immediately thought of the story and be like, I wonder if Trill will be interested in the fact that Murphy Brown reboot's coming to an end.
Who plays Murphy Brown?
Trill. Candace Bergen.
Yeah.
Did Candace Bergen do like a Roseanne or something?
No,
Did you say something outrageously offensive?
I think just Murphy Brown's done. I think you're just done with Murphy Brown.
I'm glad Blake Bortles isn't a starter anymore. Immediately, Murphy Brown is canceled.
Yeah, I don't know. Murphy Brown, gone. I think we have another ad read. We do have another ad read. We still have more news, but we have to get these ad reads out of the way earlier. Again, as I've always said, we were never told to do this by our ad team. We were just decided to do this, right, Coley?
No.
Yeah. Okay, Mac Weldon. I got a lot of Mac Weldon stuff on my desk right now. We love Mac Weldon. This is like, I don't even have to read the copy. Mac Weldon, they sell everything. Weekender bags. They also sell wallets. They sell shorts. Really nice, like joggers. Great material. Great quality stuff. They believe in smart design, premium fabrics, simple shopping. It's like the most comfortable stuff you'll wear. Socks, shirts, undershirts, hoodies. Great hoodies. Great zip-ups. Zip-up's a good look. Just tons of great products. Mac Weldon, all online. You got to buy it. Very simple, very easy. Again, I got a big box today. Lots of stuff. Wear it all the time. They look good, perform well. Not going to break down on you. You can get 20% off your first order. Visit MacWeldon.com and enter the promo code, which is it LCB? I got to make sure I read the right fucking promo code. It's Lights. MacWeldon.com, promo code Lights, 20% off your first order. Again, bought a ton of great stuff. I bought the bought the jogger pants. They're great. And the wallet, which I use two wallets, so that's why I did that.
Can't beat a good pair of joggers. Oh, I did double walleting.
Kevin Gates of Money Storage.
They don't sell jorts, though. By the way, no, I'm not going to reveal what, but we're going to have... We're going to have something coming up soon, and the hint is jorts. Something coming up in this podcast soon, the hint is jorts.
You guys interviewed Josh Harrelson?
Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Yeah, that's the hint. Anyway, go to MacWeldon.com, put in the promo code LIGHTS. They got tons of great stuff. The Ace sweatpants, Ace pants, Ace shorts, they're all great.
I think I may make a custom offer on this for our listeners. If you order something from MacWeldon and tweet me that you ordered and used our code... I think I'll make you a custom TikTok. Are they going to make that official offer?
Wow.
We're big fans of MacWeldon, and we want to make sure that they keep coming back to us, so I'll keep making sure that you guys order by offering such exclusive content like TikToks.
Yeah, MacWeldon.com, promo code LIGHTS. They are the Weekender bag I got today comes with a portable charger for your phone that slips through the sides of the bag, and you can just put your phone in the side pocket and charge it. I had no idea. Unless the manufacturer left their portable charger in the bag, in which case... I don't think they're getting it back.
Can you use the bag on weekdays?
You can.
Ooh,
but it's versatile. Preferably for weekenders. Okay, so
weekender bags are just duffel bags, right? It's a fancy name for a duffel bag.
Correct.
Like a nice looking duffel bag. Correct. Yeah.
Nice looking, classy duffel bag.
Yeah.
I like it.
It's nice.
I like it.
Okay, now to more movie news. Call of Duty. Guess what? A movie coming out. We all know
Hell
that.
Yeah.
They've already greenlit the sequel. One of the co-writers from Black Panther, Joe Robert Cole, he will be involved with this movie. What do you think about Call of Duty doubling down here? Not just one movie, but two movies. Two Call of Duty movies.
Give him three.
You want another
one? That's ambitious. Yeah. That's super ambitious. The Black Ops 4 came out, and I feel like it didn't even register.
I thought it was three.
Black Ops 4? Three? Black Ops? A new Call of Duty came out this year, and it doesn't seem like Call of Duty is as popular as it was. So it'll be interesting to see what the reception of the movie will be like. I know we made this point before.
They also tried to take on Fortnite, too, keep in mind. And that obviously didn't go as well.
Every game is, really. They're just starting to see the same Battle Royale mode. I'll wait for a Fortnite movie. I won't sleep on that just yet.
It's funny because when we started playing Fortnite, when it started to become popular, we joked about a Fortnite movie, but now it's like inevitable at this point. It'd be stupid for them to not make a Fortnite movie.
Correct.
What would it even be, though? Like, what could the content be in a movie with no discernible plot?
I don't know. What could the Call of Duty movie be? I guess they have more Call of Duty plots.
Yeah, they have like actual plots and shit.
They made Angry Birds into a movie. They can handle a Fortnite movie.
Fair enough.
They don't even have to have a plot. All it has to have is just characters flossing, the characters you know and love, name-dropping locations. Let's go to Risky Reels. Let's drop.
How about Moisty Meyer? That doesn't exist anymore, Caleb.
I hope they do one of those things where it's like 2060 and a kid finds like an old disc of Fortnite, which I don't even know if they make Fortnite discs.
Ooh, that actually, they do that like Jumanji style and like they get dropped into Fortnite.
Kids, let me tell you about this game we used to play. Grandpa, put on your pants.
Dude, that's a Galaxy Brain idea. You need to go shop that to Paramount because I'm pretty sure that would get made.
Probably. I got a lot of them here. Call of Duty, I'm out on this. I like the games. If it's Modern Warfare 2, that was my shit. I'm all in on Modern Warfare 2 movie.
I think that would be good. They have good plots.
You can buy a physical Fortnite, but it comes with stuff. There's like a bundle with it. $35.
It's like an instructional video on how to do shitty dances.
No, it says includes PSN voucher, so it isn't physical. You can buy a box. It's still strange,
Damn.
Though. That's
yeah, well... I feel like that is it's just a more advanced challenge for kids to steal their parents' credit card.
The Call of Duty movie, I have no interest in this whatsoever. Unless they make it super interesting, but I just don't.
Do we know what time period it is yet? Because it could be like anywhere from World War II to now. or in the future even.
What would you prefer? It's, the World War II? Or would you prefer the like the futuristic version?
I think there's probably enough World War II movies out there. That's like a saturated market. I mean, really with modern warfare sort of stuff as well. But I think I'd rather a modern one if I had to make a choice. Like an alternate timeline one. Russia versus U.S. There hasn't been a good Russia versus U.S. war movie in a decent amount of time.
Yo, do you think they could talk Fassbender into being in this joint? Because
I don't think he's getting a video game again or video game movie again.
Well, I think they would love to have somebody like him. I feel like the casting is going to be on par with the last Predators movie.
I agree with you that they would want Fassbender. I don't think Fassbender after Assassin's Creed will want anything to do with a video game movie again, ever.
I don't know. Maybe we should call the guy.
Let me read the quotes quick. I don't know if we've ever read these. We did mention the fact, though, that it would be like it'd be weird to call it like a great video game movie.
Yeah.
If they just made a war movie and slapped like if they made like I don't know like Saving Private Ryan or some shit and they just slapped the words Call of Duty on it, like that's not. So he said another kind of movie that's missed is a movie that talks about soldiers. So not a war movie, but a soldier movie. I think that
exists.
This is what I will do. I think it's a missing part.
You've never seen like Thin Red Line or like fucking like any of the million movies, like American Sniper, for example. None of those are war movies. They're soldier movies.
He says, I think it's going to be completely different. I think the trickiest part in doing a movie from a video game is that you're doing a movie from a video game. But if you figure out how to respect,
Yes, you have nailed it, sir.
You respect the soul of the entire franchise and keeping just this and putting it in a movie. It's a completely different experience. He doesn't quite sound like he knows what he's trying to do here. No. I'll be honest.
Nope, sure doesn't.
That's a little confused.
What happened to XOXO Dark Sniper? He was 360 no-scoped.
I'm not in on this.
You know what a 360 no-scope is?
No, I said I'm not in on this
movie. Oh, okay. My gamers are right.
I said I'm not feeling it. I'm just not feeling
too,
this.
Kenji.
Private Gundam Boner. Private Gundam Boner was no-scoped and teabagged.
Gundam Boner.
Let's move on from video game movies to movies turned into, or books and movies turned into a Netflix series. I feel that we're compelled to talk about this because it is going to go on Netflix as a series, but it's like from the movies. Roald Dahl, his books, are going to be turned into a Netflix animated series. I don't really know how that's going to work. There's not too many details on it yet, but some of them include Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, Matilda, the BFG, The Twits. Let me find a couple other ones because a few that he didn't pick.
The Twits are angry fat sons, right?
Are they?
I think so.
They're fail sons.
George's Marvelous Medicine Boy. Boy, Tales of the Childhood, Going Solo. There's a couple.
James and the Giant Peach.
No, apparently that one's not included on this.
Damn.
And lastly, but here's one.
That's a big one.
Here's one that's included that we've talked about here. The sequel to Charlie and Chocolate Factory, Charlie and the Great Glass Elevator, which is a fucked up, weird book.
The White House scene is so funny to me.
I've heard you guys talk about
it. You're not in on this one, I can tell.
No, sure aren't.
I'm almost intrigued, though, to see how fucking stupid it looks off pages, like off the book.
I don't know, because I like the Lemony Snicket's series of unfortunate events, what they did with that. It's not great, but I like it, and I think they could do something similar. Just like make each Roald Dahl book be like a 3 or 4 episode arc.
Okay.
I don't hate it. I'm not looking forward to it.
You don't want the glass elevator though?
I want the glass. I want all of it. I want Matilda. Yeah, when I'm going to space and go to the White House and
folks,
you know, I want to
folks,
find
we
out.
We love the glass elevator, folks. We love it. It's so good, folks.
I mean, I have to read this again. We read this a long time ago. Coley, obviously you remember it. But we read this a long time ago. The story of the sequel to Charlie and Chocolate Factory, it picks up immediately where the previous book left off, with Charlie and his whole family aboard the flying glass elevator. The elevator goes into orbit by accident, where Mr. Wonka docks them at the U.S. Space Hotel. Shortly after their arrival, the hotel elevator doors open, revealing man-eating monsters known as Vermicious Nids, which form a letter of the word Scram. Mr. Wonka orders them, everybody, off the space hotel. And then it continues and it ends with them going to the White House because
folks, Vermicious Nids,
space
we love
rescue.
These things. They're bad guys. Bad guys.
Isn't it kind of depressing, though, that you have a civilization that can do space travel, and not only space travel, but space colonization? in a hotel, and everyone is so fucking obsessed with a candy factory and tattoo.
And just obscenely poor people.
Yeah, crazy poor people.
Like, they're super poor.
But it's just like, they're so wowed by this chocolate factory, and I'm like, they made a fucking space hotel. This is a candy factory.
Yeah, you figured that would be like,
what are you people looking at?
That would kind of be like in the universe of Jurassic World, if everyone is like more obsessed with the candy factory than the island of dinosaurs.
Mr. Wonka gives the rest of the grandparents rejuvenation formula. Like, that's, I'd be like, where the fuck have you been the last 60 years? Like, you've been, could have helped the family out.
Makes like a sperm cell, or stem cell, like candy to help the parents or grandparents.
Does Willy Wonka have an age then? Has he been taking this? Is Willy Wonka like 300 years old? Could he Lestat the vampire?
Could be. Any of his books interest you, Coley? BFG?
No, I remember when the trailer came out for that movie, I was very scared. He didn't look that friendly to me. He just looked like a large, giant, menacing creature.
Fucking giant.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, no, you guys have... I never liked it, but you guys have forever ruined it, in case I was ever going to try and like it. And what else does he have?
The fat kid. Matilda.
Fuck that movie.
Fat kid one. Large adult son movie. I don't know.
Quids or whatever.
That sounds made up.
It does. It does sound completely
made up. I don't think
that's
real.
Mm. The book, it is made up.
Ah, that's true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I don't care for this guy and his works.
The Twits. George's marvelous, marvelous medicine.
No. This guy sounds like a real weirdo.
The Giraffe and the Pelly and Me. Billy and the Min Pins.
The Pelly and
Me. Ooh, the Magic Finger.
The Magic
Finger. I feel like
finger.
There was a window in the 60s and 70s where you could have made it big on writing children's books.
I still think that's around.
Yeah. I know like all these celebrities, these like B-list, C-list celebrities write children's books. I know it's still hot out there, but the market's so saturated. And who reads books anymore?
Gilbert and the Glorp Glorp.
You ever read the Hungry Caterpillar?
No. Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, what a pile of shit that is.
Yeah. I feel like we could easily make that or top it.
There's no characterization. The caterpillar's hungry. That's all you get.
There's no exposition or anything. Is there
breaking news?
Climax?
You know, I think if you just have some solid animation, like a strong cover.
Mm.
Because, like, if you give a mouse a cookie, it's, like, considered a classic. Is that ever going to be made into a movie?
I never liked that very much.
That's what I mean.
Plus, that milk looked like water. It was disgusting looking. Mm.
Yeah.
I'd write a children's book, and I'd get Banksy to do the art.
Mm. Ooh.
Yeah, you'd do that, for sure.
Was there a Banksy joke in a movie we just saw?
Yeah, in Spider-Verse.
Oh.
Because, like, what was it? The fucking hotels, and we can't say anything about it. Never mind.
No, the embargo's lifted.
Oh, so like
we were dicks if we said anything about it. But
everything
yeah.
starts glitching because of the universe machine, and they're like, "Oh, that was a Banksy piece."
Banksy. We just did ruin that joke. I apologize.
I'm sure Kanye hasn't done a kid's book yet.
I'm sure that's him coming.
Has he?
There have been Kanye like coloring books, but I don't think he had anything to do with.
Shaq
it.
did a children's book.
1,000 children's books. Yeah. It's Shaq.
Isn't Rashard Mendenhall a children's author now? Am I making that up?
He might be.
I think you're right.
He writes Ballers.
He writes in Ballers, really?
It's his show, yeah.
Rashard Mendenhall?
Yes.
What?
Yes.
How did I not know this?
We tried to
Kane
get him.
Kane is in the building.
The best intro song in history.
Doesn't look like Rashard Mendenhall writes children's books. I think Deion Sanders
somebody,
does.
Somebody retired young to write children's books. Wait, was it Bennett? The other
Michael,
Bennett?
Yeah, Michael Bennett,
Bennett
does write children's books.
Oh,
that's
Michael
it,
Bennett.
Yeah. The other Bennett, yeah. We had the Martellus Bennett. In the office of the day. He's a huge man.
And we had Michael Bennett.
Michael Bennett.
Yeah, Martellus.
We had no pads, Mike. Yeah.
Yeah. He was just a tremendously huge man.
Wearing as many pads as he does on the field in the office.
Yeah. No, preposterous. Yeah.
Caught Ken Jack taking a picture of him.
I just looked at this Rashard Mendenhall's Wikipedia page. It has just like all his whatever stats. And there's a fifth page Osama bin Laden tweet. That's a whole subsection for Rashard
the tweet.
I think I kind of remember that. What did he say? He said something.
He said you shouldn't celebrate someone that. Dying, and I don't saying that apparently supported 9/11. So pro 9/11, Rashard Mendenhall possibly? Question mark.
Writes Ballers.
Wikipedia is asking the question.
Now he's really not coming on mixtape.
All I know is he had three seasons where he was a solid fantasy stud.
He was an absolute stud. A thousand.
He was part of the team, the Illinois team that got the shit beat out of him by USC in the Rose Bowl.
2010, 1,200 yards, 13 touchdowns.
Oh,
what I wouldn't give for that right
him
now.
Him and Juice Williams, their quarterback back then.
and Chaz Batch, who was still on the team back then as well. Yeah. RIP in peace, wherever you are.
Roald Dahl, whatever. Lastly, Spider-Verse getting a sequel and spinoff. Ken Jack and I loved it.
Big fans.
Ken Jack and I gave it a 91. Or he gave it a 91. I gave it a 90. Pretty cool.
Great movie.
Coming out soon. Do you guys... Excitement over Zanus now that we said we liked it so much?
I never wanted to like rush to the theater to see this, but I do want to see it.
100% around Tomatoes right now.
Mm-hmm. That means nothing to me.
Yeah.
I feel like one out of every five movies the first like week the embargoes are lifted, there's 100%.
Fucking Creed launched out with like a... Well, the funny thing is Creed launched with like a 70 and Wreck-It Ralph had like a 90, 95. Yeah.
You mean that site that stole the tweet?
Yeah, fuck them. Mm.
What was the movie we saw recently that you guys thought it was going to be really good, and I thought it was going to be bad, and then it jumped out with like a really high review, and then slowly lowered down to
Halloween.
Like 60. That's right, Halloween. Halloween started with 100 for like a month,
yeah,
and then went down to like 90, and then like 80, and then ended on like 60, I think, or something like that. Probably higher than that.
Yeah, Spider-Verse is like Oscar worthy. Spider-Verse should win Best Animated
Picture.
Best,
I think it's
fucking incredible to look at, and Isle of Dogs will probably win. I know, right? I know.
Yeah, like, not horrible, just boring.
Boring, and like Fantastic Mr. Fox was better. I will say though, Fantastic Mr. Fox did not win the Oscar. You don't win the Oscar of the year Fantastic Mr. Fox was up for it?
James and the Giant Peach.
One of Coley's favorite animated movies.
Oh, Up?
Yeah.
Best animation, I wasn't even, it's not even impressive.
One of those ones we're going to look back on and really, really regret where we were as a nation when we handed out that
More
trophy.
Like look down on.
All right, so that's... Spider-Verse getting a sequel, getting a spinoff, which people are going to fucking love this movie. Shout out to Sony for making a stand-up picture. Sony made another movie called Emoji Movie, which we're going to bring up in a little bit.
Foreshadowing.
Yeah, we got to talk about Emoji Movie again. 100 episodes later, it's still relevant to what we're talking about.
Really ties into Creed 2.
Yeah. All right, so Creed 2, review without spoilers. We'll put a time code in. Actually, after the Creed 2 review, I believe we have a special Trill Bullen skit. Is that correct?
I wrote it. You guys made it, and I haven't listened to it yet. So when the episode drops, I'll probably listen to it.
Cool.
If there are any parts that are objectionable, though, I didn't write that.
No,
part.
He wrote it, and we did do a little bit of adjustment to it. A little bit.
Big studios. This is what happens when you get under the LCP brand, no tinkering.
Yeah.
Now that you're owned by a company.
I'm unionized.
All right, Creed 2, just regular Creed 2. Came out, I think, last week, came out on Wednesday. Reviews are good, but not amazing. We interviewed the director, Stephen Caple Jr., on Sunday. We saw it, Ken Jack and I, like 2 weeks before a movie came out. Loved it.
With Drago.
With Victor Drago in the back. Again, no spoilers. One of my favorite movies of the year, top 15 movie of the era for me. It was an absolute blast. We both gave it 91, Ken Jack and I. I think it's just a touch below the first one. And I also think that a lot of the stuff in this one are better than the first one, though I think as a whole, the first one probably a little ahead of that. Ken Jack, you gave it a 91. Quick thoughts, non-spoilers?
I think that it's something we talk about all the time on this show is how hard it is to make a sequel that is as good, if not better, than the original. We talked about this a lot with Ant-Man and the Wasp. And I think it's actually a good comparison to Ant-Man and the Wasp and how I think it was maybe a little bit better in certain respects than the original, but overall probably like at par, I would say just about. Loved it. Huge, huge fan. I think a lot of what Steve Caple was able to do, especially considering this is his first major project, was outstanding. Amazing camera work, amazing soundtrack, and an absolute must-see for anybody that likes action or sports movies. Or drama, really, for that matter, because at the end of the day, that is what Rocky is. It's just a drama.
Yeah, it is a drama more than a sports movie. It's pretty great. Trill, Cole, any thoughts on Creed 2 here before we talk a little more about the story and where the Creed franchise can go?
I gave it an 85. This was a very, very good movie. I don't think I liked it as much as the original Creed reboot of the series, and I don't think that's the fault of anyone who was involved in the movie. I think that the Creed 1, it kind of came out of left field for me because I've just been subjected to so many, I guess everybody has, underwhelming Rocky movies that I didn't expect much out of it. So when it came out, it was great. It was like, holy shit, this is great. you know what? This one's really, really good too. Tough job living up to that original, because you got that built in surprise of seeing the original Creed. I thought stylistically this one was a little different. I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing. I think it feels like its own movie. This is a lot more oriented towards nostalgia to the franchise too, I thought. That and I really like that. I mean, obviously you got Dolph Lundgren reprising his role in the whole Ivan Drago and his son. So that's inherent in it. But yeah, it was a lot of fun. This is the perfect movie to be released around Thanksgiving. We talk about the joys of going to the movie, and this is one of those films. You don't have to think too hard about it. You go in, you enjoy it. There's some drama. There's some fighting. Something for everybody. I'm done.
So I'm on record of saying the first Creed's better than any of the Rockies, just as a movie.
Yeah, I'd say it's more well shot than Rocky's.
Just better.
Maybe better overall.
I have a tough time saying that over the original Rocky. I like Creed better than all the other Rockies without even hesitating, though.
This is personal. I'd say if that was the criteria, like what I think is a better movie to me, like my favorite,
right,
I would definitely put Creed over all of them. Like objectively, I think Rocky 1 has to be a little bit above because that's Best Picture noms and did a lot of stuff that's revolutionary to that.
Bottom line, I don't have like gripes with what you're saying.
Right. Yeah. I mean, people get like. People are so protective of the original Rockies, even though, like,
for sure.
Was just saying.
You're telling me old people are overly defensive about something that
not
they
even young
special?
People. Like, yeah. I bet if Smitty's not even here, he's about to walk into the office and yell at me.
You tell any Italian person that, they will probably try. And
right, speak. Right. And so I gave this one an 87. The first one I'd probably give, like, a 97. I haven't actually thought of the grade for that one. But this one, like Trill was saying, it did feel a little different. Stylistically, I thought the first Creed, just the boxing scenes, was like the best fighting, real or fake, I'd seen in decades.
Yeah,
like those scenes had me like on the edge of my fucking hit him back, dude. What are you doing?
The long cut scene was amazing.
Yeah, the long one. It was one single shot, right?
Yep.
And Coogler produced this one. He didn't direct it.
Yeah, he produced.
Yeah,
it.
Yeah, he's a producer along with Stallone.
So that's
P. Jordan.
That's. I feel like that's like almost where the soundtrack comes in. I feel like he just he's money with the soundtracks.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, no, I did enjoy this. I don't know if they're capable. They're at the point now where when Creed 3 is announced, which I assume is going to be has it already been announced?
Creed 3?
Yeah.
I don't know if it's been officially
Stallone
announced.
Stallone said he was done.
Yeah, Stallone said today he's done.
But I don't buy that. Because I think anybody can be paid to do something.
Yes, right.
Correct.
And it's like, oh, this one did really well again. And I don't know if it's going to come. This took, 3 years in between?
2016?
Yeah.
Or no, 2015.
Yeah, so 3 years. Like, I don't think the next one's going to be in 3 years, because I think Michael B. Jordan's probably going to want to take a break and do other shit too. But I could see like 5-6 years, like Creed 3 popping back up and everyone being very excited to watch it.
Get Clubber Lang?
Is he dead?
Possible. Oh, Mr. T?
No, I'm sorry.
Oh, just the character Clubber Lang?
You're right.
I believe he's alive.
Okay.
Mr. T? Well, Clubber Lang was supposed to be in this one.
Yeah.
Who said that? Somebody said the rumors are that... Okay, well...
Someone did tell us that. I don't remember exactly.
If you don't want to hear Creed 2 spoilers, stop right here.
To avoid spoilers for Creed 2, skip ahead to 52:11.
All right, spoilers for Creed 2. Clubber Lang, they said he was supposed to be in this one. Like that, the gym in the desert, like he's supposed to be, that was maybe going to be his gym. But apparently, Clubber Lang wanted a lot to be in a different Creed, one of the old Rocky movies, and wanted too much money, and then still wanted too much money this time around, which they definitely didn't need him. And actually, I think having him in there would have lessened it a bit. You don't need to put that many characters in it.
Right. Been too much.
It's the perfect amount of no cheese. Mm. And like, I've seen a couple people here and they sit here say it is corny and cheesy. I don't see it, though. I just don't see it. Like, it's still a Rocky movie. Like, the first Rocky, at the end's a little corny. The first Creed is even a little corny at the end with, like, what is it, Ricky Conlan? Is that his name?
Yeah.
John, what was the one today with Tyler? John Cuco Conlan.
Cuco Conlan, yeah. That's the first person I thought was Mickey Conlan.
Yeah, Conlan. So he, even at the end, he's like, he goes, Creed. This is your time now. Something like that. It's like, that's a little corny.
He's
it's
like, you earned my respect, I think. Something like that.
It's like, I mean, that's what's going to happen in these movies. Like, it's a box movie. Sure. It's a sports movie. It's going to have that. And like, I don't think this one had it all that much. Mm. It's like, I didn't quite see that. I think it definitely pulls on nostalgia a little more. It's a lot less based in the, or it's a lot more based in the franchise than the first one. But again, it works. It takes two characters. It takes a character in Ivan Drago and then his son, who are just corny-ass characters. I mean, that's what they are. I mean, Rocky IV is one of the schmaltzy, cheesiest movies of all time. Stephen Cable Jr. said that. Like, it's amazing. Like, it's a fun movie to watch.
That's my
for
favorite
what it is.
Of the original Rockies.
Yeah, but, like, it's amazing because it's corny as fuck.
It's way over the top.
But you can't
it's
do excellent. That now.
No,
yeah.
Sure can't.
Yeah, and he found a way to not do that and make a, he gave depth to the Dragos. That's what I was most worried about this movie. When I saw the Dragos were in it, and then I saw Coogler was going, I was like, oh, no, this is going to stink.
I wish Andrei Kirilenko could have been, like, an uncle or something, just in his corner. Because, like, he just looks like everyone.
Oh, man. It rocked. The music fucking rocked. The desert training scene was amazing. The song, the ASAP Rocky song, he was in that one, Running, which I'm probably going to make the outro to the pod now that the movie's out. Awesome. It's just, it hit on everything for me. And I actually liked the boxing more in this one than I liked the final boxing from the first one. I think the last fight, Ricky Conlan fight, or whatever his name. I think it was Ricky Conlan. It's a good fight. It's entertaining. But I think the fights are deeper and more interesting, at least the second fight. The first fight of the movie, I'm not counting that one. I'm talking about both Drago fights. I think the first and second Drago fight, I think those are better fights than the final fight from the original Creed, which the first fight in Creed is the best one, obviously. It's the one shot where he just goes around the ring. It's the one shot
what,
of the match.
Mexico or the first one?
The first one.
Yeah.
No, the Mexico one's really quick, too.
Yeah, it is.
But no, the first fight where he, I forget the kid's name he goes up against, with all the tattoos, but he he beats
guy's son.
Yeah, he beats him, and it's that one shot. That's amazing. But I think the two fights in this one against Drago, they're incredibly well made, and we saw it with Robbie Fox, who pointed out, too, like, they get really into deep into boxing in this, too. They're like, oh, like...
Kellerman.
Oh, my God. Max Kellerman has the most fucking lines in this movie.
Yeah, more than anyone else.
I think Max Kellerman had the biggest script. Like, They're at a table reading, and he's like, Max, and just slams down a big thing. He's like, what the fuck? Yeah, you have half the script. But he had to mention, like Victor Drago gets tired in the last one. Like, they mentioned more, like, technicalities rather than just beating the shit out of each other endlessly. Again, I loved it. I thought it was awesome. Brigitte Nielsen comes back.
Ooh.
Makes the big cameo. Pretty shocking. They made that. That's probably the corniest part of the movie. That probably is. Her return is probably the corniest part. But it works. Like, it adds a little to it, and it's surprising. Again, this movie, my favorite thing, though, he told us was that for all the Drago stuff in the first half of the movie, it was a handheld camera. And then and colder tones, and everything was a much warmer tone, and the camera was a smoother tracking type camera, tracking shot, steady cam for Adonis up until the second fight.
Yeah.
And he gets his shit kicked in, which was predictable, sure. And people are saying it's predictable. Like, what did you expect? It's going to have two parts to this. And then everything else there, it's like a different camera style. I think that's great. It's one of those things where if you don't notice it until they say it, but if you were to watch it again without it, you would notice it.
Yeah.
So technically, he made a fucking awesome movie.
Yeah.
I loved it.
Rocky IV is when he trains in, like, the mountains, too, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
So that's the direct opposite is training in the desert.
Yep.
Correct. You know what I mean? and he's training in this, like, this white hoodie, and it just, it's like rising from the ashes almost. Like, it just looks cool. Like, there's symbolism there.
We saw it in Dolby, and what do you call it? So when every single time they had a hit in POV, it was like you felt like you were getting punched, essentially. It was insane. A lot of what they did, I was really impressed by. I think the Mike Will Made a soundtrack was absolutely incredible, combined with the Ludwig whatever original score. Amazing.
Something hard to pronounce.
Yeah, some sort of Swedish stuff. It was very, very, I thought it was insane, and I enjoyed pretty much every aspect of it. But Jeff, you pretty much reviewed everything I could have possibly said. So I think that's all I got for it.
Yeah, I had to go on my little spiel. We mirrored our thoughts to each other on this movie. It's awesome. Had a blast. I recommend 10 out of 10. Go see it. 91. I think the beginning, I think we both said it a little clunky in the beginning, maybe. I think a lot of exposition to take off the ground there for them. You know, you got to bring Victor Drago into it. Mm-hmm. You got to set up like what Adonis is doing now. So I think the beginning may be a little clunky. Did you have anything, Kendrick, maybe off about it? Other than that, because that was the one part we agreed on.
Yeah, to improve, maybe just that may fix that opening bit a little bit. I do agree, or do think, rather, that this was maybe more emotional than Creed. I think that's what Capel brought a lot of authenticity
to it.
Take
out the fucking tissue boxes.
Yeah, he brought a big level of heart and authenticity to it, which you really feel throughout the movie. And there's some scenes, I think, that we mentioned with him. The hospital scene, I was absolutely in tears for. The ending moment where they go to Creed's grave.
Rocky comes back after Creed gets his ass kicked.
Rocky comes back, and then they go to the grave. And it is, I think a lot of what he was able to do is, I think, different from Creed. And I think that's hard to do. Again, this is a sequel to a reboot of a franchise. Like, that's fucking hard to do. And I think that what he was able to make out of this movie was insane, and I applaud.
Is this the best sequel? This is the best sequel you guys have seen since? Sorry, Troy. Best sequel you've seen since Fantastic Beasts 2?
Probably, yeah.
It is the best one since.
And the Daddy's Home 2. It was pretty good. I thought they did a good job with I forget her name, but you know, his fiance and typically those subplots seem kind of shoehorned in, but I thought it served to.
Right.
Serve his purpose really well in the movie. And you kind of think about like telling a character arc, and that even if this was like the last movie with Michael B. Jordan or the last Adonis Creed type movie, I think like that's a pretty good character arc for them to wrap. And I also think they could go more on it too if they wanted to.
I think they should stop it personally. What do you guys think?
The Drago arc?
Cole, do you think they should make more of these? I think that ended almost perfectly. I do not need to see another one of these.
It'd be weird to end on two, though.
That is true. It is weird to end on two.
Yeah, I would like a third.
A third feels inevitable, and I'm fine with it. Just like I said, I don't think it's going to be 3 years. I think it's going to be closer to five.
It's tough to do without Rocky, though. It's tough. Their dynamic is very, very good.
Sly Stallone's just holding out for that cash, man. He's still recouping the Planet Hollywood loss, so.
I think we end up with a third one that involves Clubber Lang somehow, but not like in the same way that it was Drago's son. And I think it also involves the Dragos as well, because they did expand on the Dragos and make them 3D characters instead of just flat, one-dimensional villains, which, again, another thing that must have been very hard for them to do.
I really like that he did that, by the way, because it would have been really easy just to not do that, right? Just to make them pure bad guys. But they brought a little humanity to it, which... I think that's like one of the better parts about 2018 filmmaking. Like, say what you will about the reboots and spinoffs, and we've talked about it last week, but like at least they're with the reboots, and this one, for example, they're doing something different to some of them and trying new things. And I appreciate that. And it's a good combination of not only nostalgia, but like building on characters you're familiar with, which is just kind of neat.
Yeah, I like that. I think the fact that they made the Dragos like mildly relatable and emotional. Like, you look at Victor Drago and you're like, I understand why he's frustrated. I understand why he's doing this for his dad and his family, but you can see in his eyes he's frustrated and doesn't want to be this weapon. Mm. He's basically a weapon. That's like what he is. And then in the end, they kind of embrace it. It just ties together great. It's a complete fucking blast of a movie.
That guy, Florian, whatever, probably the largest human being I've
Took
ever seen in my life.
2.5 seats in the back of our theater.
He was like fucking posed up like Neo in a full tracksuit from GTA 4. It was very intimidating.
Yeah, it was full tracksuit.
Cousin. You want to go
Cousin
bowling.
Cousin Neo, come bowling with me.
Oh, man. All right. So that's Creed 2. Our audience gave Creed 2 a 90. 90 out of 100
for
our audience, yeah. All right. Let's move on to Wreck-It Ralph 2. But first, a Trill Ballin special. The old pen and paper came out. He wrote a script for a skit. We'll play it right now.
The Sportsman Report is a free-flowing conversation that touches on a wide range of topics. Listener discretion is advised. At home, drawing pictures of mountain tops. Welcome back to the Sportsman Report. I'm the Sportsman. Today I have a very special guest. Star of the Rocky films and now starring in Creed 2, I'd like to welcome Rocky Balboa.
Oh, hey, really nice to be here.
Rock, love your new 30 for 30. You once again mentored the son of your rival and friend, Apollo Creed. Are you more Stringer Bell or Omar during this process?
Well, Rocky's just a character I created in that way. It's no actually...
If you put Prime Ivan Drago and his son on the Knicks with Kristaps, are they winning 60? Anyway, do you know Ivan Drago killed the dad of the guy you mentor? That's wild.
I kind of guess, it's a really good movie to make, and you see a whole new different side of...
Did you fuck Polly's robot?
Oh, yeah, of course. I mean, you asking Stallone or Rocky?
Rocky.
Yeah, I fucked it too.
All right, that's it. Join us next week on the Sportsman Report as we rank Kyrie Irving's toes. At home, drawing pictures of mountaintops with him on top.
Thank you, Trill. Way to get that writer credit going. You got to, in order to stay in the Writers Guild Association, you got to get a couple writing credits here and there, right?
Well, the first time I'm going to listen to it, I think, is going to be when the podcast comes out. We'll see what the finished product sounds like.
Okay.
Smart.
Sounds like good. That.
You want to listen to it when there's nothing you can do to stop it.
thank you for taking such a bold stance on the Ukraine. We appreciate that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, God. Mm-hmm. I didn't write that part.
Yes. No, he wrote all of it. He wrote all of it.
Deport Inez Kantor, I was shocked, but you made some strong points.
You say very pro Ergo Dan.
Oh, buddy.
Skit by Tro Bones.
All right. Next up. Next movie up. Are you guys ready for this one? Ralph Breaks the Internet, which is not what it's called on this podcast. We call it Wreck-It Ralph 2 here. That's what it should be called. But he ain't breaking the internet, I'll tell you that. This is not going to be the movie that sends Wreck-It Ralph into the pantheon of greatest movie characters of all time, which is disappointing, Coley Nick, because you staunchly defended this movie the first time you're on it, the original movie, which we all loved.
Yeah.
Original Wreck-It Ralph is great, but you, I'll let you lead off. I'll take a back seat on this. You were a massive Wreck-It Ralph fan and were very excited for this, but you were hesitant as well.
I was, because the first one they started like development on this movie in like legitimately the 80s. Mm-hmm. So that, and it came out 2011, 2012. So they put a lot of time, effort, and it was filled with like genuine heart. You know what I mean? Like it was a fucking really good movie. And I said it was, I think I had it third for all my Disney Pixar movies. And I said I could see it getting to one, just the first one. So when I saw this one get announced, obviously I was excited because I did love the first one so much, but it did feel like such a fucking rush job, and that's very clearly what it was. It was a fucking cash grab rush job with zero heart. This movie was sans heart. If this were a human being, it'd just be a dead guy. I give this a 45.
Oh, 45.
Harsh.
Whoa.
Lowest of the group.
It's a 45.
Okay. We'll get more into it in a second. I'll just give mine quick. I gave it a 73. I'm bumping it down, giving it a 66. I did not think this was a very good movie. No. I thought 73 was me being very generous for the animation, which is great. The voice acting, I liked.
The voice acting.
I know you didn't even love that.
Well, we talked about it earlier. For the first 20 minutes, everyone just felt like they did one take of reading their lines, very disinterested. They were like, yep, perfect, got it. I was like, what's happening here? I've never seen that before in an animated movie where I was
gotta get this out.
What? These don't feel like characters at all. This feels like people just reading lines.
Creative stuff in there, the way they go about the internet, which we can get into. But I think you're right, Coley. No heart. I just felt dead watching this. And that goes beyond the product placement. We're going to talk about the product placement, which doesn't factor into my score, really. Like, I mean, that's what shows you how bad the Emoji Movie was. Like, the Emoji Movie was a 2 or whatever on the merit alone of it being a shit movie. But we'll talk about the product placement as well. And making movies about the internet, which need to just stop.
Oh, I hate that.
Ken Jack, I'll let you go quick, and then Tro, you can round out our non-spoilers.
Bad movie. Tro, what do you got?
Are you mending your score, though?
What's up?
Are you mending your score?
I'm staying where I am.
Okay.
I wouldn't say it's not horrible, but to echo some of the points, when we reviewed the Emoji Movie, we said it felt kind of, I didn't, maybe you could say the Emoji Movie felt like Wreck-It Ralph without heart, but Wreck-It Ralph 2 feels like Wreck-It Ralph without heart.
It does.
Because it is Wreck-It Ralph without heart. And I'm going to take a bold stance. I say my score is 55. I'll say it again if I did. My bold stance here is I don't like this genre where we take characters and they go into the internet and it's some exploration of the internet as is it's a physical place, and all the jokes are based around, not all the jokes, but a lot of the jokes are based around, hey, wouldn't it be funny if like people were actually bidding on stuff like eBay and like the auction stuff was funny. Like I maybe I'm too online, but I know the internet is a much more sinister place
much
than this
more
portrays it to be.
The only thing, like, you can find in the dark web is a worm. I think that's the funniest thing about it.
Like, and I went in some reviews, and there were some where it was like, let me read this. It's like, Ralph Breaks the Internet is one of Disney's first films to take a serious look at how digital culture is to come to be shaped by relationships to things as well as people. Okay, fine. Maybe you thought that, but if you spend enough time online, you'll know that this doesn't even touch the surface of the brain rot that the internet gives you and the amount of toxic bullshit that's on there. So that's not relevant to the movie. It's a work of fiction. But I just don't want anyone saying in a think piece that Wreck-It Ralph 2 was some grand masterpiece that really made some social commentary on the internet and how the internet has changed our lives, because it's a bunch of dumb eBay jokes.
And this is not a story that hasn't been told. Like, it's just not, and not that a lot of movies these days, like, that's a concept that's never been, like, even like Wreck-It Ralph, like, if you broke it down, you're like, well, okay, it's been said before, but the way Wreck-It Ralph presented it was unique. This just didn't, there's nothing special about this.
No.
We'll get into this. We need to dive further into this. So we're going to go into spoilers. If you don't want Wreck-It Ralph 2, Ralph Breaks the Internet spoiled.
Well, listen, Wreck-It Ralph 2 spoiled itself.
Fair point. Fair Got point.
Him. G Adam.
Skip ahead.
To avoid spoilers for Wreck-It Ralph 2, Ralph Breaks the Internet, skip to 1:17:04.
All right, back here. I actually want to read I want to read a review or two. One, this review really hits the nail on the head with us folks. I don't know if Trill's going to like this one. Within a few years, the specifics of this is a negative review. Within a few years, the specifics of the viral gags in Ralph Breaks the Internet will be as dated as a Tay Zonday joke.
Wow. Oh, there's nothing dated
it's
about
true,
Tay
though.
Zonday. That's a ricochet. That's a ricochet shot for our boy Tay Zonday though.
That's yeah. He's reading like he's like on Rotten Tomatoes.
What
like
what the fuck?
should I see Ralph break? He's like, what the fuck is that?
That was a bad impression.
The thing is, if you...
No, I mean a bad impression of Tay Zonday.
Oh, yeah, no, I didn't have it. Yours is pretty good, actually.
If you make a joke against Tay Zonday, making fun of him, you're dated. If you wholeheartedly support Tay Zonday, you're on the same galaxy brain mindset as the big-time movie boys.
Correct. Yeah, exactly.
I get that.
True. Can you do an impromptu song of Tay Zonday finding out he got flamed by a movie reviewer indirectly for no reason?
What the fuck?
Here you go. And we're not going to make this too socially think piecey.
Give me brain.
But there have been think pieces about this. I am happy to say that the misogynist's worst fears were realized. This is very much a movie whose female characters are equal to their male counterparts. But that exists. Yeah. Like, I understand that point. Like, and that's a great point. Like, I completely get it. Like, right? Like, men and women are on this symbol. They should be, and they should be portrayed that way in movies. This is not the one I would fucking throw out there,
no,
though.
Sure
and the princess, Disney princess scene is cool and all. But then it's also tied down to fucking corporate synergy, too. So it's like, it's not this pure fucking movie they're going to throw out there and be like, hey, look at this. Well, we finally did it. We finally did it. As it's like Disney, love them, just tossing their shit all over everything.
And even still, like, Ralph doesn't come to the self-realization until a much larger version of 1,000 of him puts him into that to that place. Like, he brings himself to that. So even still, they miss the mark on delivering that fucking thing.
I still think the funniest thing about it is how, like, their whole big point is, like, female empowerment and everything. And, like, they're talking to the Disney princesses, and they're like, does everyone think a big man needs to come save you? It's like, Disney, that's you, motherfucker! Right. You're the ones who did that! That's all you!
It's just, yeah, it's
that was the
weird
joke.
No, I mean, that doesn't land that way, though. Like, it doesn't come off as self-aware. It comes off as them doing a money grab by, like, exploiting it.
I think we're – let me say it a little bit differently. I think you'll agree with me. I don't think Disney deserves a pat on the back for poking fun at their characters.
Yes.
When they're known as the company that will sue daycares for having a bootleg-ass Mickey Mouse painting up on the wall.
Yeah.
I agree with that. People are like, oh, wow, I'm surprised they let them do that with the princesses. And, like, look,
No, I would agree with you. I would agree with you if I even thought that Disney was being, like half a percent genuine in trying to help, like, female empowerment. They're not. They don't give a shit. They're capitalizing on it to make money. And that's, like, what is so transparent about it, I think. Like, if there was any sort of effort to make it more subtle, I might buy that agreement and be like, yeah, it's like, they're being self-aware. Like, I get it. That's good. But it's not. They did a lot of stuff like this where it didn't feel genuine. It felt like they thought they could take advantage of, like, whatever SJW stuff and, like, make money off that, which is, like, just gross. It felt gross.
Then you have Ralph Breaks the Internet works because it doesn't pander and it doesn't simplify.
It's we talked about this one before. It's just the opposite.
That's all it does.
I don't know. I mean, I'm not going to discount people for feeling that way.
No, they can't. I was more confused in myself. Like, were we wrong? But I was like, I just can't get on board with this. Which I've said 10 times now, but okay.
Yeah, I just don't think it made any point about the internet relating to our lives that you can't get from reading a 500-word article.
Did you mention which one of you mentioned the comment section bit where he goes in and Ralph reads the comments?
Yeah, me.
Done poorly. Presented with a great opportunity.
Yep.
Done poorly.
He read, what, one negative one?
Yeah, I mean,
that
like...
That ratio's all wrong.
It wasn't... it didn't go about it the way that made it useful. It just felt like it was a weak attempt, a hollow attempt.
Yeah.
And some of the stuff was cool. Like, I loved how they get around the internet, too. I love how, like, I like the cars they're in. Like the concepts, they nailed the concepts. It made it intriguing to watch. Like, I liked looking at it. Where, again, the Emoji Movie, a lot of the same product placement just stunk up and down. Nothing was good about that movie. Animation was bad. Voice acting was bad, disengaged. This at least had some good elements, but the story as a whole was such a stinker for me.
Do that many people click on pop-ups?
In 2018?
Like I'd say 75% of the people clicked on pop-ups in this movie.
Yeah.
They're trying to tell you to click on pop-ups.
I'm not going
to
do it. They made the pop-ups, like, friendly. Like, that guy tried to help.
They did make a fake MILF pop-up, which I appreciate. They did, like, a toned-down MILF pop-up ad.
Are you clicking in an app to go to a different app for a video like that? Like, they did in the Oh My Disney app?
Sure not.
The Oh My Disney app, by the way. I need to dial back so we can get invited to screening still. But, again, the product placement is just... And there's some funny stuff in that Disney app. The funniest part of the movie, the hardest I laughed, was when the Jason Mantzoukas character is like at a mic, at like a podium, and he says, like... I forget what he says, but he's like, "Sir, are you to say that in Guardians of the Galaxy or whatever, like you are the tree or whatever?" I forget what the exact line is. He's like, "Sir, is that true?" And it's just Groot, and he just goes, "I am Groot." And then Ken Jack makes that joke all that. You always make that joke. "Sir, are you to say in this episode?" And Troll does too. So I laughed very hard at that. But that was really it. There's nothing else like that. Took me over the moon laughing. Yeah.
There wasn't a lot of laughter.
It's just hard for me to relate to because I don't see the internet as this fantastical world to be explored. I see it as this hellscape.
I would argue this is a danger to the kids out there who now think being online is safe.
And cool.
Yeah.
Both things are wrong. Being online sucks.
Aside from the premise, though, I just... And it's hard to get aside from the premise because it almost feels like they started with the idea of, like, what if we had these characters go into the internet? The first premise was so good and clever, I thought, like being in video games, and that was self-contained. And I liked that. And it's expanding on this, but it's almost like you still could have done more with the whole video game thing. You didn't have to take it to the internet point where every joke then becomes this, and it's not going to date well, as that person was saying about the Tay Zonday thing. Mm. It's just a little joke. It's like a Family Guy cutaway gag.
Yeah, it's a bummer, and it was about halfway through when I realized that I was watching just a better version of the Emoji Movie.
Yeah.
Just when I saw Google, like, and they drive by Google. This is the other one that's disappointing me. They drive by Google. He goes, "Oh, I know where to get goggles." I'm like, but okay, at least they're just going to brush Google aside, right? And then the fucking finale of the movie is on top of the Google building. And just like in your face, just Google. But by the way, congrats to Google. Glad they get their name out there. Really, good for them. Good for them to get their name out there in front of the people.
Like the advertisements for milk. Like, yeah, motherfucker, I know what milk is. Like, you don't need to do an ad for that.
It's like you're not even brands of milk, just milk.
Yeah,
just
drink milk. Like, yeah, I know what Google is. I know what milk is. These are like basic necessities for human beings.
eBay. And obviously, eBay is a central plot point.
Yeah, they must be. They definitely paid the most for advertising.
The one who has to be like. And actually, I know why. I'll get to that in a second. I know why they didn't. But the one who has to be like, "What the fuck did we do wrong?" was BuzzFeed.
Yeah.
Right.
They just made a fake BuzzFeed. It's because I'm pretty sure Disney wants Oh My Disney to be their version of BuzzFeed. And I know logistically BuzzFeed is owned by, I think, Universal. There's a whole thing. So I think it's like corporate synergy, corporate issues why it's not in the movie. But I feel like still BuzzFeed had to be like, "Ah, oh, come on. It's just a rip off of BuzzFeed."
Correct me if I'm wrong. They're called BuzzTube, right?
BuzzTube with three Z's. A complete rip.
Like, I mean, BuzzTube. We're all hearing the same thing. Right?
You can get that on the internet.
You can.
No, I mean a vibrator is what I'm talking about.
That's what I said. You can get that on the internet.
Then there's the weird character with like the cyst. The
worm. That was Alfred. That was Alfred Molina.
Was it?
Yeah, Alfred Molina was the big head. Another thing you can get with a vibrator.
They went to like the autofill joke several times. I was like, I get it.
Sometimes they did.
Sometimes
they went back to that well
with something you're not exactly looking for.
That was Alan Tudyk, who did the autofill guy.
So I knew he was in the movie. I didn't realize that was Alan Tudyk.
That was a waste of Alan Tudyk.
We love Alan Tudyk.
So do I.
Yes, we're four Alan Tudyk lovers right here. True, we're all big Alan Tudyk guys, right?
Big Alan Tudyk guy right here.
That's why it was a waste to have him even attached to this film.
Yes, definitely agree.
I'm trying to think.
And it usually, like with a sequel, when they introduce new characters, I'm usually for that because when they rely too much on the previous characters, they just go back to the same jokes. Like, haha, remember that was funny the first time? And they didn't do that in this one. And still, like, I would have liked if what was the racing game she eventually goes to?
Oh, she was on Sugarcrest and went to Slaughterhouse Racing or something. Slaughterhouse Race.
So if, like, that chick had been in it more, maybe there could have been some opportunity
there.
Wasn't
it Shank?
Yeah, Shank.
Gal Gadot, yeah.
Everyone here says Shank you, actually. Like, ugh. Thank you for that joke. We appreciate it.
But I don't know.
He only said, I'm going to wreck it one time.
I'm fine.
Travesty.
Really? Oh, I love that. It
could have explored Felix, Fix It Felix Jr. and Ralph's relationship some more.
Yeah. Fix It Felix, him and...
He's definitely a cook.
Well, Fix It Felix is married to her face's character?
Right? Jane Lynch's character.
Jane Lynch's character, yeah.
Yeah, they just adopted all those kids. They never went back to that plot point.
What was God? There
so
was,
he's impotent too.
Definitely.
Fix It Felix Jr.
Oh, there was one part. There's one point.
He can fix every tool but his own.
Hey,
hammering his cock.
Is Zangief coming over tomorrow night? Okay, I'll sleep on the couch.
Yeah, they were like, Zangief's got a book club now. But I was like, all right,
please,
sure.
Zangief, work on him this time, please. You promised.
Oh.
I don't know, man. There's some people who really like this movie who think that our review is off, which is very fine. I mean, that's movies, opinions. That's fair.
No,
but
those people are wrong.
I think we're two online. I think part of it's we're too
on. Oh, wait. That's the part I want to get to. I also didn't like the fact that they made it seem so fucking easy to make a viral poster video.
Yeah.
And, like, I know that sounds really
just
like
his face as a fucking goat, like
old man yelling at the clouds, but, like, if I had a kid, like, at my age right now, or if your kid was, like, a little older, like, you had your kid a little younger, and, like, they're getting into, like, it's kids these days who watch, you know, Ninja or watch Twitch and, Fortnite streams. Like, I feel like if I were a parent and my kids saw that, and it's like, oh, let's go viral. It's like, oh, fuck, no, fuck you, movie. It's not that easy. Now my kid thinks he's going to become a star immediately.
Yeah. To be fair, they didn't do it well, but they did make it that it was such random nostalgia that popped up on the internet that was going viral. They made it so that Ralph was already a known quantity in the real world. That's why, that happens all the time. Not to the level in which he went viral, where every video he made got like billions of hits in a day. But when some random shit from the past pops, we said it was SpongeBob earlier, when some random shit from the past just pops up, it usually take like the Arthur Fist, like all that shit. That usually does blow up, just not to the level in which they portrayed it.
You raise a fair point, but then again, the kids obviously don't understand that.
No, well, kids are fucking all idiots. Every last one of them.
Realistically, it should have been him trying really hard and making like 20 videos and none of them getting any views, and then him making like the stupidest, like give up inane video and it being like hyper viral. And that being the one that gets him over the edge.
Oh, man, what a bummer.
Because they kept cutting back to the office, too, and that guy was like, hey, Phil, did you see this one? Like, they did that like three times.
Three or four times, yeah.
Well, like the unboxing video joke. Is anybody going to know what an unboxing video is in 15 years?
Oh,
like,
sure
it's still going to be a thing.
For sure not.
Somebody said that too. This movie is super dated. Not just the Taze on Day One. Someone said this movie is against what makes animated movies like great, is that like they're memorable and they have lasting or staying power. Mm. The movie does not at all. And not to say the internet's not going to be here, but like a lot of like the nuances of the movie, like I don't think
half the websites they reference won't be websites in 10 years.
Yep.
Yeah.
No Spotify reference in this one.
It was in the poster.
Was it? So it must have been in the background.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't see it, but it must have been.
Yeah. When they first get there, when they show everything. And
no
like,
Spotify scene, I guess, is the better.
No, because what do they do in the first one? The Spotify River?
They need whale music, so he goes on.
An emoji.
Yeah.
Emoji
not
movie.
First record.
The whale, whale sounds. Like, whale sounds are very commonly a thing found on Spotify.
He has
from
to
a student
movie.
Project.
Yeah.
From a student project.
He uploaded his student project to his computer, went to the local files tab, a much frequented part of the Spotify app, and then listened to that. Yeah.
I did give it a 55, so I did like John C. Reilly. I love his voice. I could listen to him doing voices forever. It was a good movie to look at. There were some parts I did like the Disney princess scene. I did think that was clever. I enjoyed it. There are a lot of parts where I did chuckle at the joke, even though I don't think it necessarily lended itself to like a real coherent movie. It just felt like a series of internet jokes. And that's part of my rating. I don't think it's going to stand the test of time. I didn't enjoy it as much as the first Wreck-It Ralph. And that's where I'm at.
It didn't make me cry like in every Disney movie ever. Has made me cry. Brave, which is not a good movie, made me cry.
You're right. There is nothing that would emotionally tug on any heartstrings in this movie.
A little bit
the
at
Scottish
the
Scottish accent was kind of funny.
That was kind of funny.
Which one?
The parting scene for them at the end of the movie. That no, not Brave. In Wreck-It Ralph.
I know what Ken Jack, what Troll was just saying.
The Scottish accent part. I did like the princess moments when they all at the end saved Ralph and they had like a little bit of their theme incorporated into all their actions.
Yeah,
I thought that was cool. Like it was a cool novelty, but then that was it. That's probably like my most redeeming part
of
the movie.
And when he fell through the pop-up guys.
And he's like, oh, that didn't work at all. Yeah, Bill Hader. That didn't work at all.
When he was falling, I was like, that can't possibly work. And then it didn't. I was like, all right, good. Good.
Bill Hader, that was a great character.
Yeah, so again, I think we all, well, to various levels, I think Ken Jack and I maybe a little more than the two of you, but maybe you guys not that much less than us. But there was some stuff that I liked, but I was so disappointed and bummed with the story that's what I needed to talk about the most. That's where the most points I got. I took off for this because the story just wasn't great. It was a hollow story that was bland and nothing exciting. And the technical aspects were cool. It looks really cool. I thought again some of the internet stuff is creative, but the story was such a zero for me that this movie just didn't do it. Didn't do it at all. Bummer. Yep. I almost called it the audience. Scored an 84 out of 100.
That's too high, man.
Idiots.
That's why I like when Coley comes on. Coley's not afraid to take the shots.
Absolute. How many people do you think watched it?
Idiots.
How many votes do you have on it?
I'd have to go check. I assume it was a lot, though.
Yeah, so what did you say before? You wanted more Star Wars references?
No, not even more. Like, the Yoda would have been great. No, there's no. But, like, they made the stormtroopers far too competent. Like, yes. They were hot on our tail. That wouldn't happen in Star Wars.
Yeah, that's true. That's poor stormtroopers. Always getting a bad rap. Rightfully so, because they stink.
Yeah, they stink.
They
much
do
like
stink.
This movie.
They're very bad. I'm still pissed I lost in Star Wars trivia today. Because I didn't win an A-Wing.
Klieg Lars.
Klieg Lars. It's like something you yell when you bust. Klieg Lars!
That's how George came...
Klieg Lars!
Is that how George comes up with the names?
So, guys, I think today we're... I had an epiphany last night after I... came in my wife.
Every time Ken Jack and I do the George, it sounds great, and then 3 seconds in, we're just on Kermit.
Yeah, it just...
Yeah. Oh, like, yeah, real quick.
Boba Fett, and it's like, fuck, I can't get it. Only do Kermit. Man.
Klieg Lars!
Wreck-It Ralph 2. Ralph breaks the internet.
Oh, Klieg Lars. That's what Mork and Mindy yells when he comes.
Oh, Klieg Lars. Oh.
That's more Rodney Dangerfield.
Oh, Nanu Nanu.
Okay, new segment that we completely stole from our friends over at the Weekly Planet. Movie character fights. People wanted us to do this, so we're going to do our own twist. We did movie battles when we first started this podcast here and there, but it was never like fights. And we actually talked about, what did we talk about the other day? We talked about old people fighting other old or celebrities. Oh, no, rich people. Rich people fighting.
Rich people fights.
So that must have.
And John Cryer was all in on it.
Yeah, that's right. We never mentioned that in the pod. We never talked about the fact that we tweeted about John Cryer and Jeff Bezos fighting, and John Cryer.
About that action.
Quote tweeted it.
Ready to go.
He's ready to fight Jeff Bezos.
Yeah, he was ready to fight
him. Or Jeff Bezos.
He's like, what do you think? Both. Or yeah. Bezos, Bezos.
I've said both. Like,
Bezos.
I can't figure out which one to do.
It doesn't matter what his name is. John Cryer, kick his shit.
Yep.
Kick his shit completely.
Hungry dogs fight harder.
Yeah. So we're going to do movie character fights. We have six of them. We're all going to debate what we think. The audience, you guys voted. You guys actually suggested these too. So let's start it out. Coley's playing with a...
I've broken this box cutter.
There's a box cutter here.
He's
in the
playing
office.
With straight edges
actually,
right now.
So Fights was playing with that earlier while recording KFC Radio, and he was punching holes in his water bottle.
Yeah, I almost did that too.
And then took a sip of his water at the end, and water went all over him.
That makes sense. That
and he was
well
also
happen.
A reoccurring guest, John Feidelberg, was also wearing rollerblades around the office today too.
Zooming
such
around.
A fucking asshole.
Always.
I mean, he was good at them though. I'll always. Give him that. He
that's
some,
the only reason why he's wearing them.
He had some
to
dexterity.
Show off his blade. Blading abilities.
I mean, I would do it too. I was impressed.
Okay. First movie fight. Who do you think would win? Detective John Kimble or the Kindergarteners? So a kindergarten cop showdown. So the cop from Kindergarten Cop or the Kindergarteners in Kindergarten Cop. This is the this is the old mixtape one, right?
The what's the total amount of Kindergarteners?
How many in the kindergarten class do you think there had to have been? Like 20?
Probably.
That's a lot of kids.
It's just like a bare knuckle fight to the death.
I'm sorry. I'll start it off. I'll let you guys get more of the brunt of the debate. I'll start it off. Set the tone. I'm taking the Kindergarteners.
I'm going.
That's a lot of kids for Arnold Schwarzenegger to fuck around. Like, this is also have to beat the shit out of.
But this is 90s Schwarzenegger. This is like just as he's like just starting to exit the peak of his physical fitness. I'm all in on Schwarzenegger just beating the shit out of them.
Wow. I think the kids could. Couple scratches here and there, clawing at his eyes.
They're not going to be able to get on the same team because, again, all kids are idiots.
Very like, dumb.
None of these kids could even open a pill bottle.
Okay, what if it was like fifth grader cop?
I think – so I'm going to take Detective John Kimble because I think all he has to do is do the Zangief windmill spin with his fists out. And 75% of them are on the ground and then he just – cleans up the rest.
Yeah, I agree. I completely agree. Fifth graders, I think it would be much tougher, but 20 is far too few kindergartners. You're going to have some kids just like taking a nap, other kids peeing their pants. Very few, like, they can't inflict any damage.
Yeah.
Unless they have like they find a good mana source and then they can do like a power attack, then it's totally different.
So how much does a kindergartner weigh? Like 35 pounds?
Sounds right. Well, in America, probably like 60. That's good.
Oh, you're talking American or British? So, cool buck 50 here in the U.S. I mean,
easy buck 50.
So let's round up to 40. So let's say Arnold had 800 pounds of kindergartner on him. He could easily do that, right? Like even if they like all climbed him, up on him. Yeah, but he could walk around with 800 pounds strapped across his body, right?
At that age, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, no.
So all he'd have to do is fall back.
The movie poster, they're all over him. He was fine.
That's only like 7 of them, though.
But I'm saying, I don't know if more than 7 of them at once are going to be able to get on the same page here.
That's a good point.
He killed a predator. I think he can kill some like kindergartners.
So I'm completely lost on this one. I'm the only one who's going on the side of the kindergartners.
If it were like 100, I might start considering.
Yeah.
They don't also know, like, they don't have the urge to kill at that age.
Yeah.
If it was John Cryer versus 20 of them.
That's our next movie fight. Just go John Cryer. That's our segment. John Cryer versus. Didn't Shaq? Yeah, Shaq versus.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That should be our next t-shirt. John Cryer versus everybody.
Yeah.
Oh. Ooh.
I get seen to eat so fast, I wouldn't even care.
We get him on, though. Okay.
We've sold four.
Has he been in any movies?
Cryer?
So we talked about him because you listened. Yes. So yeah. No, movies?
That's what I mean.
He had
me. Pretty in pink. Back in the day, back in the 80s, okay. She's in some Hughes movies, or maybe one.
John Cryer. He does. He rocks the bald head really well.
He does. I like it. He just committed.
He's been in a lot of movies.
Okay. Well, there you go.
Nothing. Due Date was the last notable one.
Good. A solid movie.
Due Date. A lot of them are not big movies, so Cole, you're probably closer to.
He was in Hot Shots?
Hmm.
I didn't know that.
Okay. So it looks like. Detective John Kimble is going to win this first movie fight. Audience had 70% saying Kimble. Mm-hmm.
Plus
next
he's a
up,
cop.
Yeah,
he's got a piece.
Yeah, we have shoot which we kids. Haven't we haven't talked about working in weapons yet.
Yeah,
so we'll see as we go. I don't know if weapons are going to be a factor.
Give
this one.
Detective John Kimble a bow staff. I think give the kids some other stuff
like some
the,
books.
Sure, to throw the books.
They very.
The scissors they have are not going to do anything, obviously.
No, they could stab them with those right in the eyeball.
Safety ones?
Yeah. Anything. Bounce right off.
Yeah.
Okay, how about this one? The Willy Wonka showdown. Johnny Depp Willy Wonka against Gene Wilder Willy Wonka. So, obviously, the Depp Willy Wonka. I'll set the tone here. I'm going Wilder because I can never pick the Johnny Depp one. Not because it's Johnny Depp, because I hate that fucking movie. But... his character is much younger than the Gene Wilder one. He's a young, slick, sly cat. While the Gene Wilder one, he's been up there in years, though Trill might have uncovered the fact that he could be 300,
immortal,
400
yeah.
years old. I'm going with Gene Wilder. Thoughts? Trill, I'll let you start this one.
Yeah, I like Gene Wilder, too, just because I think he's closer to unlocking the human form of Super Saiyan, which is old man strength. And that fight actually could be like a 5-part episode of DBZ, where in the last one he you see him unlock old man strength.
Yeah. A 5-episode arc of him powering up and finally figuring it out. I don't think I've ever seen Gene Wilder scream, other than when he yelled at the kid in the movie. I'm also going Gene Wilder.
He screams in Young Frankenstein, right? He
had to.
Yeah, outside. I mean, like in Dragon Ball Z, it's like you're just screaming. Like there's no word.
It's not
a word. You're yelling. But I mean, more like that. I'm also going Gene Wilder for this. He's just new Johnny Depp or Johnny Depp. Willy Wonka was too, I would say, polished, too posh.
Kind of a wimp, too.
Yeah.
Too much to lose because he's so young. Like, his chocolate factory, he's still trying to get that off the ground.
The beta Wonka.
Gene Wilder.
And the Chad Wonka.
He's seen so many deaths. Like, he's just numb to the world.
How long do you think he was practicing the Kane role outside? Mm. When he walks up to the audience, the crowd outside, and he does, like, the role where he pretends to fall down, but he just does a somersault and... he had been working on that for weeks.
There's like a hotel in space, and the most impressive thing they'd ever seen was a guy doing a somersault.
Yeah.
Like, damn, that shit's magic.
We love this guy.
Folks, we love this guy.
Even though he doesn't really employ anyone from the community.
Yeah. He has slave labor.
Or add anything to the local economy.
Outsources every fucking job in his factory.
But we love him because he sells us delicious chocolate.
Oh my god!
frying the Slurm Factory, another great episode of Futurama, like we were talking about earlier.
A tremendous one. I'm taking Gene Wilder over Jeff Bezos as well.
Jeff Bezos, 100%.
Yes, for sure. We've established that Jeff Bezos loses every matchup, which I don't think we said on pod. Yeah. But after John Cryer established himself as a friend of the pod and that he would win, we will always say Jeff Bezos would not win. Audience, 85% took Johnny Depp Willy Wonka.
What?
Yeah. 85%.
So outrageously wrong.
I mean, I'll say
audience they're on a cool streak right now. I'm going to say that with confidence. I think they're on a little bit of a cool streak between those last two movie ratings and now this.
Which they had a pretty good list on our whatever we did last week. I forget what we did last week. What did we do last? Oh, we did Harry Potter rankings.
Yeah,
people like their rankings.
They had a great Harry Potter list.
Yeah, people like both their lists.
I hope they feel bad.
Next up, Napoleon Dynamite against Neville Longbottom. Neville Longbottom, this is tough for me because you got to figure out which Neville it's going to be, but you got to match up ages because you only know Napoleon really at one age. So we'll go with the older Neville. Again, it's a fight. I don't think you can bring weapons into this, so he's not going to have the fucking sword of Gryffindor, not going to have the magic. It's a fight. No tetherball for Napoleon Dynamite. I have to go Napoleon Dynamite. I think he's maybe got a little reach on him, a little length. I just don't trust Neville. I think Napoleon Dynamite is more confident in his abilities to fight somebody.
Oh, no.
Really? Napoleon? I disagree. I think Napoleon.
Neville Longbottom from the very beginning. Whatever age Neville Longbottom you're going to give me is who I'm taking in this fight. He established early on he was with the shits. He'll stand up to anybody. And he can take a beating. So I don't, like he could even just like rope it open and tire out Napoleon and then just like push him over.
You're right. He did stand up. I just still like I don't know. I don't know if he had the I don't know if he truly had that confidence. But you're right.
He's
he
a
did
brief
have to stand up.
He's essentially pre-transformation Captain America.
Yeah. That's fair.
Yeah.
And that guy got the shit kicked out of him.
Yeah. Exactly. I'm saying like I wouldn't pick pre-Captain America versus anybody.
So who are you?
So you're taking Napoleon Dynamite.
I'm taking Napoleon Dynamite.
Fuck yeah, let's go. Let's ride.
Plus, he learned a little bit of Taekwondo, like you were saying. He learned Rex Kwando, which is even better than Taekwondo.
Listen, the other guy knows fucking magic. I don't want to hear about it.
Break the wrist, walk away. Break the wrist, walk away. You could probably do that way better.
He can't use magic, though.
What's it called?
Patrick Warburton?
It wasn't Patrick Warburton that did it, but you could probably do a closer approximation.
He doesn't have magic.
So he can use Taekwondo?
Well, that's just a style of fighting.
Listen.
It's not a weapon.
Neville Longbottom should have fucking learned Taekwondo instead of practice.
He was learning much more practical things, Jeffrey.
Being shitty at magic for all those years.
He wasn't shitty at magic.
Great herbologist.
Was he? Was he good? He was a good herbologist.
Mm. Okay, so can he use herbology?
Sure. No, that's magic. That's basically using
herbology is not magic.
Well, if you use a magical item and make yourself into like a superhuman, that's essentially using magic.
Did he do many spells in those movies? I literally just watched all of them, but I forget.
Final Fight.
Yeah, he really didn't.
I thought, didn't he give him, like, the one?
He gave him the gillyweed in the fourth one. But again, that's not really magic, necessarily, giving him the other thing. But, like, I would count that.
That was definitely magic.
Who in the book?
That's what I'm saying. If you're giving,
who
you
in the book gives him
magical
isn't
items.
It different in the book?
The gillyweed thing?
He studies under what's-her-name professor, the herbology professor, for a long time. Like, that's his favorite class, and that's who he figures it out.
Jeff keeps trying to bring it back to books.
No, somebody said that again the other day, and I was like, I don't know.
Who gives him the gillyweed?
Yeah, who actually, it's like a
pretty
difference.
Pretty sure it's still Neville that brings him the gillyweed.
Trill, sorry, I cut you off before, but are you siding with Coley? Because we may have a tie here if you side with Coley on Neville.
Yeah, I'm going Neville just because I don't think Napoleon has the fighter mentality. And I don't know much about Neville, but I just don't like Napoleon.
But Napoleon has Rex Kwon Do.
I don't like Napoleon. Don't like.
Okay. Wait, do we all like Napoleon Dynamite?
No.
Good dancer, too. Neville, known bad dancer. Very known bad dancer at the Yule Dance or whatever.
Yeah. So Coley's a no. Trill is a my time. The time has may taken it away from me. Ken Jack, Napoleon Dynamite movie?
Do I think it's a good movie?
Yeah.
I think it was very... I enjoyed it when it came out. In retrospect, it lost rewatchability. It's a very tough rewatch. Although the Rex Kwon Do scene easily still make me laugh.
You very clearly, as for that,
I like
that you like
Rex
Kwon Do.
If you do not get this by now, I'm a Rex Kwon Do guy.
Audience sides with Coley and Trill.
That makes me feel worse about it because the audience is going to have a fucking stinkeroo of a week.
Neville, 80% said Neville. This next one was a much closer matchup. Indiana Jones against Benjamin Franklin Gates. So, aka Nick Cage in National Treasure. This was a tough one for me. It's a straight fight. So no whip, no gun, obviously. A little hand-to-hand combat, a little combat. This was tough for me because, on one hand, I was like, well, Indy's been through a lot of shit. Like, he survives a lot of beatings, been through a lot of stuff. But so has Ben Franklin Gates, man.
Oh, yeah.
Like, and I actually think, who do you think's smarter?
Oh, well, Indiana Jones is, they're both professors, right?
They're both, like, this is a very even matchup.
Yeah. I'm going Indy. Fought the Nazis, man.
That's true. That may be the convincing one on me. He did fight Nazis.
But wasn't he also like a sexual predator?
Indiana Jones?
Yeah.
He was not a sexual predator.
No, wasn't the girl... Who was the one who like he needed like her father's... Like,
in the first one?
Yeah, well, like the girl he visits, well, like when he says like I first met you, that would have made her like 11.
She was 19 when they first met. He said I was young I was in love.
No. I was listening to Daves of Thunder, which is a podcast, and one of the guys... like, they originally wrote it. They had to change it because they did originally make her, like, 12. Oh,
yes, okay, so that makes more sense.
Sours my...
So, in Indiana Jones canon, definitely not a child predator.
I would say in canon, definitely a child predator.
No,
they had to fix it.
Well, that would be in canon if they never fixed it.
I don't know who I would... I don't know. I'm torn.
What's Ben Gates' kill count? Zero. Indiana Jones took down the Third
Reich. I'm going Indy, but Coy, it sounds like you're going Ben Franklin Gates.
I mean, he doesn't get any wet. How did he kill the Nazis?
With guns,
right?
And
so he doesn't
knives
have those.
And
he doesn't
fists.
Have any of those.
He punched a Nazi. He punched a Nazi to death once.
I mean, that's great. I do appreciate that. I think everyone should kill at least one Nazi via punching them in the face.
Yeah,
but I don't know.
Lots of great kills for Indiana Jones.
Yeah, I'm a big like. I mean, I guess this one doesn't really apply because I'm just like big on resilience, like with the Neville pick, and I don't want us to all agree like with the Gene Wilder one. But man, Gates, I'm going to say Indy until they give us the third book. Not the Book of Secrets. That's Harry Potter. What's the
Book of Secrets?
Is it?
Yeah. Who has the better polls, Ben Franklin Gates or Indiana Jones? Like, who's swiping who has the better swipes of their artifacts?
I mean, the Declaration was the most like heavily guarded by people.
I think it's Ben Franklin Gates. I'm going to take Indy because I think the kill thing is what does it for me.
Yeah,
kill more people. But Benford, the steal, like the outsmarts, I feel like Ben Franklin Gates might be able to actually outsmart Indiana Jones, which is not easy.
No.
Indy also outsmarted that one Nazi into getting hit by the plane propellers. People forget that.
He also outsmarted the atom bomb by getting into a fridge.
Also outsmarted the Nazis that got their faces melted by closing his eyes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He's a smart guy. He's also a professor. Again, people forget this.
They're both professors.
They're both professors. I think Indy's, as a professor of antiquities, I think it's a little bit more impressive. Also, stealing the Holy Grail, way more impressive than stealing the Declaration of Independence. I'm just going to say that outright.
Better dad, though. He's got a better father.
Both pretty shitty dads.
Well, I mean, it's Connery versus Voight.
Yeah.
That Voight's character wasn't that shitty, was he?
No. I guess not. No, well, he drove their wife away, right, in the movie? By
he
being
did.
Obsessed with the quest for
yes.
the Declaration?
Yeah.
Yes.
He did.
Which is essentially the same thing Connery did.
Yeah.
You know
That's
what?
True.
I will say Sean Connery had sex with a sexy Nazi and then also killed some other Nazis, I believe. At certain, yeah, he killed the pilot by shooting the or getting the birds to go into the plane.
So a lot of Nazis. I
so John Voight, yeah. again, no kill count. Sean Connery definitely has a kill count.
That, no, they... I mean, Benjamin Gates technically killed that guy in the second one. When he loved.
But again, that's the one, and I'm pretty sure Indiana Jones is outranking by like 1,000 at this point.
With weapons.
Well, not just weapons. He's killed plenty of other guys with smarts and fists and
he killed
physical
this guy
violence.
With smarts.
Yeah, but that's one guy, again.
Okay.
That gets nullified by Jones killing the Nazi with the plane.
He also got out of that boat in Antarctica by like blowing it up.
How did you know anyone was on board?
So, if I may interject, I think you have to go with the base assumption
are you
hosting
a dog fight? What's happening?
Yeah, my dogs are barking because of the fight. But anyway, ooh, that's distracting. I got to go with Benjamin Gates because I think you got to assume that every Nick Cage character has characterization that was created by Nick Cage himself. Mm-hmm. And Benjamin Gates, I don't want to see what's in that mind once he gets just twisted up in some fisticuffs.
We'll turn to Mandy.
Are you going Ben Franklin Gates, Coley?
No, because
you landed on Indy.
Okay. Only because they haven't released National Treasure 3.
I don't know if Trill convinced you at all. So you're going Indy. So Indy's going to win at least right now 3-1. The audience picked Indy as well, 57%.
That was close. Yeah.
Are you happy or didn't pick Indy because the audience did?
I did pick Indy.
Oh, crap, you're right. So are you not disappointed again?
No, I knew they'd fuck that one up.
Okay.
I had solid reasoning behind mine.
Okay. Andy's Toys. Andy's Toys from Toy Story. Next matchup against the Sausage Party food.
Mm. The Love Sausage it. Party, they're nasty, dude. I gotta give it to the Sausage Party. They're gross.
Yeah. They're willing to be dirty.
Listen,
they're willing to be dirty.
Do you hear the crying baby?
Oh, is the baby fighting the dogs? That's the question on Coley's mind.
There's a lot of illegal shit going down right now.
I do know you got a soundboard, too. You're just hammering that.
I've been instructed I cannot use the soundboard.
It would actually be perfect to use the soundboard on this because we're on Skype.
I didn't get it set up.
I mean, are you trying to insinuate that Andy's toys are not dirty?
I don't think they are dirty. I don't think they're as dirty as a Sausage Party, deviants.
You think you fucked the toys?
Cole, who are you going with?
I'm going with Andy's toys. Dude. Those things are fucking terrifying.
I am, too. I think they're fucking smarter than the Sausage Party. So
much smarter. Foods. Those guys are idiots.
It required a bunch of bullshit for them to figure out how they had to win, and they won by luck. And I just think, oh,
baby on board.
Opportunity to improve on your Hall of Fame credentials.
To apologize for the interjection.
So, Mrs. Ballins... We have a Hall of Fame guest on tonight who beat you and our precious daughter out for the Hall of Fame. And now she has the opportunity to redeem herself. But once again, she is frozen up in front of the camera.
Give us a take, you coward.
Come on. say something.
Get nothing.
We're trying to tickle her to try to. Well, you know what?
Oh, that was a nice grin, though.
That was an adorable
smile. She's happy. She loves it.
Yeah,
she's clenched onto the pop filter very tightly now.
Hi, Daddy likes podcasting.
All right, yeah, I think Andy's toys are a bunch of PG
pampered
soft boys and girls.
No.
They were hard at many points.
Are you going, Ken Jack, as well, Sausage Party?
I think I'm going Sausage Party. Yeah. I think they'll take out some dirty tricks from the book and figure out a way to win, no matter what it is.
All right, tied up.
Who do you think wins, Seth Rogen or Tim Allen? Fist fight.
That's the easiest fight of all time, Tim Allen.
Oh, Tim Allen, dude.
Noted, he does have
Tim
the height.
Noted cocaine dealer, Tim Allen, yeah.
All right.
Allegedly.
So I'm with...
Oh, no. Not allegedly at all. That's just a thing that happened.
I'm on your side, Coley. I think they're smarter, just outsmarter.
They've had to endure like explosions, like rockets, all sorts of shit.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Oh, more power.
Home Improvement Yoda.
Jonah Hill versus Tom Hanks. Current Jonah Hill, that is. So
hipster yeah. versus normie.
Yeah, essentially, yeah.
Tom Hanks, how tall is Tom Hanks?
How tall is Tom Hanks?
Google, Alexa, what time does the Super Bowl start?
6 foot for Tom Hanks.
5'9 for Jonah Hill.
5'7 for Jonah Hill. Ooh.
I think Tom Hanks might clobber him.
Yeah.
I got to support the homies. I'm going with Jonah Hill.
Yeah, I'm going there too.
Okay. Audience, 70% said sausage party sausages.
There we go. Now we're back on the right track.
You'd be crazy. I'm just spitballing, but like, what if this concept we're going through right now was like turned into a show, a death match of sorts,
like celebrity death match?
Yeah,
of
it
sorts?
Was like claymation characters.
That would be so.
It
cool.
would never work.
I don't know about that. I think as long as it was uber violent, it could get some views.
If there were a charismatic ref, perhaps I could I could see it.
Maybe.
And great play-by-play guys. But no, I don't see it.
Wasn't there supposed to be a Barstool celebrity death match? Didn't some guy make it and then just didn't make the rest of it?
I don't know. He's probably part of the audience and just very disappointing.
apropos of nothing, I just want to say I enjoy in this podcast recently the immediate call and response effect of the Yoda impersonation, because every time I do the Yoda grunt, he does it and vice versa. Like, I don't have a choice. If he does the Yoda grunt, I have
to like,
do it.
It's like nothing to me at this point. Just like, it's just noise. It's just like, and not that I don't like it, like, it's just part of the pod. It's just like, I just hear it like, okay.
Let's make something clear, Jeff. You definitely don't like it.
No, I don't dislike it. There's a... I like the them doing it by themselves. The soundboard, when we do the recording at home, I don't like, because it makes the audio very difficult to edit. So I don't love that, to be honest. There is this notion that I really hate when they like make jokes. Like, there's these memes like of me pulling my hair out. I'm really just laughing very hard. But
I'm laughing online. I'm not upset
for the
at
ruse.
All.
No, I don't hate it. I just keep making the memes though. But no, I like when they go on tangents. It's funny.
You say they like you have to like corral them, like they're wild boars of some sort.
It's typically them corralling themselves. Like there's like a light bulb that'll go off in their heads where they're like, all right, it's typically Joel saying, all right, I got to stop.
Yeah, I know when I'm pushing Jeff's buttons.
The biggest mistake Joel has made in all 104 episodes was teasing that he would do a one-hour podcast the 2 days before Christmas.
Oh, our Christmas special, Joel?
Yeah, the fireside chat or whatever, 60 minutes of pleasure.
A completely unedited conversation about nothing that's just a fucking disaster.
I'm going to have to disagree. The biggest mistake was very clearly when you guys went back to 1990, whatever the fuck.
Clearly you didn't listen to the whole thing.
The first person who was openly honest with us and didn't bullshit was Coley.
Listen, you guys know I love this show. I keep coming back. I'm a Hall of Famer. I tell it to you straight.
When I knew it was really bad, like I knew it was bad when we were doing it, but when I knew it was really bad is when Jeff was saying it wasn't that bad in the group chat, and then Coley came on, and then you were like, I didn't like it. And Jeff was like, that was a fucking piece of shit.
I thought when we were recording it, I actually thought it was. But I think it was because it's one of those things that you do. And I'm not like calling out any podcasts. And I feel like I'm sure there's podcasts where this happens, where it's like we're doing it and it's fucking hilarious because we were in the moment doing it.
Right.
Like it was funny for us to do. And like when we put the rundown together, like true, you sent a bunch of topics and I know we laughed at them. And then you do it and then you think back on it. You're like, that might have just been funny for us. Like,
6 minutes of that, I would have been all in. 60.
You know those weird tangles you get when you're doing something that's not funny and you know you're going to have to commit to it? Like, the same thing I got when I did Pardon My Take, I got when we were doing
you
that 90s.
You were much better on Pardon. You were way too hard on yourself on your Pardon My Take appearance.
Well, we're not hard enough. Who knows?
Yeah. You didn't have enough blood flow in your penis. But other than that,
The funniest part about it is like that was kind of like 5 months after the show just started and people were like, go back on Pardon My Take. I'm like, dude, they have like Blake Griffin on every other week. Like, what am I going to say?
Yeah. They're like, what's happening? Hanks just like hangs up.
back who's of the week it is.
You were almost out with us a few weeks ago, but we couldn't. The timing just didn't work. And Big Cat said, they're like, we'll get him on. And then they're like, probably not going to happen, though.
Lenny Dykstra, our dicks, you must suck.
We do have one more. This is the Ken Jack and Coley fight, though. Because they hate both these characters. The old man from Up, Mr. Fredrickson, and Sully Sullenberger. I will not designate which Sully, because at this point, there's a lot of things we're very clear on many things in this podcast. I still am not quite sure if Ken Jack means the Tom Hanks Sully Sullenberger or the actual Chesley Sullenberger.
That's part of the mystery.
And I actually would like it to stay that way, but I'm still not quite sure which Sully he wants to actually beat the shit out of.
Could be both.
So yeah, I'll let the two of you take this way. Coley, I'll start with you. Old man from Up, you do have one of the probably top five most famous lines from this podcast. Up, more like down. You don't like the movie. Who would you take in this fight?
I mean, one guy's an American hero, and the other one is just an old man who befriends a racially ambiguous, like, 11-year-old. Flies him throughout the sky. Didn't have any permits. He was a much better pilot than Sully Sullenberger.
That's
too.
True.
That's true.
It's just a fact. He ran into plenty of problems and got through them without fucking crashing.
Correct. But I'm going to take the old man from Up, because life. If life didn't get rid of him, I don't see what Sully's going to throw his way that is possibly going to get him up out of here.
Yeah, up out of here. That was a good one. Mm-hmm. Appreciate that. Mm-hmm.
That was very good.
Can we put me into this fight with a loaded burner?
No.
Then I'm probably going to go with Coley. I'm going with the old man from Up. Sully literally did nothing except his job in landing a plane, which everyone does every single day. I'm pretty sure, like, your house lifting off from ground is not something that people go through job training for. I don't even know. What was the old man from Up as a job?
They never.
He sold balloons. He sold balloons.
So I'm pretty sure they don't teach you when you're selling balloons what to do when your house flies away.
He sold balloons in a zoo.
So, like,
I fucking hate this guy. Jesus Christ. I never pieced together that was his job. What a piece. How much can you possibly make doing that? 25 cents a
year? His wife worked at the zoo, and he sold balloons at the zoo, I believe.
He couldn't afford her fucking diabetes medicine. I mean, Jesus Christ.
I can't keep up with these helium prices.
Please,
So at that party we were at last night, the person that we went with, I'm not going to name names here because we went and, like, it was for work purposes. I don't want to compromise anyone, but Ken Jack and I mentioned that our podcast, if there's one thing we get problematic with, is that we're a little too mean to old people. We are very rude.
Oh, this is very funny.
To the olds.
Oh, I forgot about this.
And there is this guy who looks like Doc Brown's great grandfather patrolling the party, and Ken Jack is making joke after joke about him, in which I am laughing at each one. Ken Jack gets up off the couch to go to the bathroom. Fucking Doc Brown sits down in his spot within a millisecond, and Ken Jack comes back. And I messaged the group. I'm like, oh my God, this guy just sat in Ken Jack comes back and he goes sit down, and this fucking geezer is just plopped in his seat, just sitting there staring at him, like giving him this, like, look.
He looked like short Doc Brown, except he had a very, like, eccentric bow tie on. He looked like an inventor from, an inventor from Chitty Chitty Bang Bang or something.
The old struck back last night.
Yeah. That was
Attack
bad.
Of the Olds.
And he gave us, like, his business card and everything. It was quite the scene.
He did. Nice guy, though.
He was pretty nice.
Very nice guy. Didn't know we didn't like the old. He might have beat us up. Trill, who do you got in this one?
The old guy from Up, I gotta say, I think there's years of rage pent up inside of him just waiting to be unleashed. And I think Sully doesn't have that. Sully seems like a very wholesome, nice guy.
Don't forget. Don't forget,
it's Tom Hanks too.
Shitty at his job.
It is Tom Hanks too, and this one is Ed Asner. Ed Asner, I would take in a fight over Tom Hanks.
Has he passed?
I think Ed Asner. Did Don Rickles die?
Don Rickles died.
Okay,
Don Rickles.
Ed Asner is alive.
Ed Asner is one of the best movie Santa Clauses of all time. He's
correct.
An elf.
Mm. Yep.
Awesome Santa Claus. Not hot Santa, but awesome Santa. Have you watched Christmas Chronicles yet, Coley?
Not yet. I just can't get
He's
over
a hot Santa.
The fact that this dickhead sold balloons.
Do you remember why they took his house away? What the final straw was?
Weren't they just, like, building a highway?
He they fucked something up on the front of his lawn, like his mailbox, and he was trying to get them to go away, and he punched the guy in the face with his walker, and it cut him in the it cut him on his head.
They took him to court.
And they were going to take him to court, and he ended up just giving up the house.
He ended up bringing home his work balloons.
he comes home from work, and he, someone that works at a restaurant bringing home food. He's like, "Honey, I got some balloons left over from work today." Yeah, she's fucking like, no.
I can't feed our kid that we lost these balloons.
He's like, "Please take the job my father offered you at the racism factory. I beg you." I beg you.
She's like, I bring home all the money.
Can you think of anywhere? We live in this city. Can you think of anywhere better to sell balloons than the zoo?
The zoo's not even open in the winter. What are you doing?
The place that people have already spent a lot of money to go.
Just bad business strategy by the up man. God damn. That old asshole.
What an asshole. I hate that guy.
I got this old hot dog cart right here, but I'm going to use it to fill up balloons.
He didn't even make like balloon animals. He just filled balloons.
Listen to me, honey. I want to open a brick and mortar store for my balloons.
That's our next step. In 1942, though, making balloons was like the equivalent to $180,000 a year these days. So probably.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, God.
Sir, is that a red balloon? Why, I haven't seen the likes of this one this side of the Mississippi.
Honey, I want you to hear me out here. I'm thinking of introducing a purple balloon. Please, bear with me.
Oh my God. Okay, are we done destroying this guy?
Yes.
Never.
99 red light balloons.
I'll never be done.
Oh, man.
What was his name?
Mr.
Fredrickson?
Carl Fredrickson?
Yeah, I think so.
Carl Fredrickson. Yes, and then the kid's name was Russell.
Balloon Jerry.
Balloon Jerry.
I give Mike...
go ahead.
I give Mikey Podcast, the guy that tweets out our stuff on the Barstool account, I give him like a tease every week. And every once in a while, it'll be something a little bizarre and out there. This one tomorrow, who would win in a fight? The old man from Up or Sully Sullenberger? That might be one where I know a lot goes in the Barstool. I'm going to be like, hey, why did Barstool get slandered for talking about beating the shit out of Sully Sullenberger? I mean, I've already determined this is the clip I'm giving him.
I mean, he would. It's just a fact at this point.
Yeah, like I mean, I give the guy a lot of shit, but that's because I know he can take it. Because life just comes on him. Also, and turn after turn after turn.
Again, partially his fault, being a balloon salesman and all.
And some say... You can still hear old Balloon Jerry filling the helium in the balloons to this day.
Even that bird didn't like him. Like, no one liked this. The only person who liked him died right in his face.
So we have two shirts. We're coming out now with...
She died from, like, the cold, too. Like, some easily preventable disease.
She died from depression. She was like, I needed this kid so I could have someone I could talk to in this house. Not fucking
poor wife starved
boy.
To death.
The,
started eating balloons. Say, I don't know what to cook.
The string, honey. The string has plenty of protein in it.
Oh man. Oh, so two shirts. I definitely want. We need the John Cryer versus everybody, but we also need the Balloon Jerry shirt.
It's just like a triangle shaped head old man with a balloon.
Can you imagine just getting a model to model a John Cryer versus everybody shirt? And that popping up in someone's Facebook promoted.
Somebody with the fucking Barstool shirt of the month club, they're looking for their next KFC radio shirt and they get John Cryer versus the world. Oh my
God. That phone's just unplugged. That was definitely my fault.
It's okay.
1,000%. All right, better. Yeah. Just they open their package. Who the fuck's Balloon Jerry?
Fucking Dave and Erica go downstairs, pick out a new Patriot shirt.
What's this top-selling shirt?
Balloon Jerry.
We start giving them to every guest that comes in. Like, Steve Capel Jr., here's your Balloon Jerry shirt. Thank you for coming on the pod.
Fucking John Taffer. Yeah. Can I get a new shirt? Can I get a new shirt? Here's Balloon Jerry.
Balloon spelled with one L, too.
This is your new smocking, man. This is amazing.
This is not a joke anymore. We weren't able to sell the Bob Hoskins shirt. Balloon Jerry. We're going to sell the Balloon Jerry. Sure, I'm going to give it to it.
Becomes 10 times bigger than Saturdays Are for the Boys.
Yeah. You should just, the new thing to get art should just be like going in and speaking at a daycare and asking them to draw stuff. And then just collecting, like, okay, draw the main guy from Up and take the best painting of Balloon Jerry and put on the shirt.
Or have that South African pig draw it. That it was actually a pig. I'm not describing the person. Yeah, just to be sure that you guys know what I'm talking about.
Dangerous adjective there. But.
Oh, my God. Balloon Jerry shirts. Find them on sale, hopefully, by the end of the week.
Jerry Balloon.
Man, okay. What did the audience even pick?
I think we're done.
We are. Done. Audience picks solely.
Seinfeld 2000 starts tweeting about Balloon Jerry.
Jerry get Balloon.
Balloon Jerry get iPad.
Jerry go up, get lost in weather balloon.
Oh, man. All right. That is it. I'm looking at a clickbait right now, by the way. Speaking of older people who have unfortunately passed, it's this picture of Stan Lee defiantly in front of all these comic book characters.
I thought that was Naruto. And it's
like one of those clickbait sites. Stan Lee's cause of death has been made public. So they made clickbait out of Stan Lee's cause of death. They
couldn't that, even that is straight disrespectful.
Pretty good.
Imagine Stan Lee was like the ghostwriter for Naruto.
Oh, I did like the... In Wreck-It Ralph.
Oh, Stan Lee cameo.
Yeah, that was good.
That was cool.
Oh, and also in another movie, which we can't talk about. Or is it?
Everyone knows it's in there.
Yeah, it's in there. Yeah. In the Spider-Verse.
He's in the
Spider-Man video game, too.
He is in the Spider... I didn't know
that.
He's
in the Spider-Man video game, yeah.
Oh, that's nice.
Huh. I tried to play Spider-Man for the first time in like 2 months and have completely forgotten all of the buttons.
Mm. You know what takes place in New York?
That's
pretty cool.
Which New York? This one?
Yes.
No chance.
It's insane. People have been posting these photos of like bridges that are actually real bridges, or at least they look very similar. It's crazy stuff.
There's a DLC coming. It's the Amazon Long Island City expansion pack. And you fucking deliver USB-C cables to people.
Yeah. The main villain is Andrew Cuomo. Hey, fuck you.
Fuck off, Spider-Man.
Oh, Spider-Man, you think you could beat me? My father ran this town. Shout out. We can't steal that bit. Shout out Chapo Trap House.
All right, that's it. Anything else before we go here?
No, I think that's it. Yeah, fuck you.
Thanks again, Coley. It was a long... This was a 2-hour, 20-minute up.
That's what happens.
I think it's going to be a little less because we had some stuff we're going to cut out.
Yeah, you have to cut out the cocaine wallet stuff.
Yeah, and that really racy skit that you wrote.
Mm. Oh, God, dude. Mm.
Again, me. I'm like attuned to a dog whistle, so I only can do it if Trill does it.
Oh, yeah,
first.
No, I have no idea how to do it.
Balloon Jerry.
I've just started doing it
just
at my desk.
I'm just standing
at work.
Yeah, when I just see something like interesting pop up on the email, I go.
I'm actually going to tweet Balloon Jerry right now. One L?
One L.
Jerry, J-E-R-R-Y?
I thought the G. Yeah.
I don't know. It doesn't matter to me. As long as
the
balloon has one L.
J's things are catchy.
I'm going to tweet it. No GIF, nothing, and just people are going to know what it is once they...
Balloon Jerry.
Balloon Jerry.
Balloon Jerry. All right. Yeah, thanks again, Coley. Fun as always.
I'm glad I was able to show everyone why I was a Hall of Famer over Trill's kid.
Mm. Yeah, that was
head battle of wits.
That stat line was pretty embarrassing for her tonight.
Tyler, we'll make sure to get you your Ridge wallet. Don't worry.
He's already got the Rim wallet, right?
Yes, he definitely has the Rim wallet.
Yeah, I don't know if he's going to make the switch. He really loves that Rim wallet. But he does hate the convenience of a real wallet.
We are reviewing Robin Hood next week, which, spoiler alert, really bad.
Not good.
I think Widows as well, but
dude,
mostly
when Robin Hood, this is my only spoiler, when Robin Hood says, "What are those?" I was done with it at that point.
What did you say Robin Hood was really wearing? That Nike...
Tech fleece.
Fucking tech fleece.
Tech fleece Robin Hood.
Yeah, Robin Hood is actually a hype beast in the movie. That's his entire role.
First reply is already the Ryan Reynolds. What? Yeah. So,
Oh, no, I gotta go retweet it.
All right, thanks again, Coley. Make sure to go see Robin Hood. and mostly Widows if you haven't yet. For Ken, Jack, and Trill, and Coley, I'm Jeff Lowe. We will talk to you on Sunday.
And have a good week at the box. Two middle fingers, see you all, then it goes.